You're going to get used to wearing them chains after a while, Luke. Don't you never stop listening to them clinking. Because they're going to remind you of what I've been saying. On your own good.
Wish you'd stop being so good to me, Captain.
Don't you ever talk that way to me. Never! Never! What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants. Well, he gets.
They're gonna put y'all back in chains.
I don't like it any more than you.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
You cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about.
So it's going to be up to us on January 6, 2025, to tell the rampaging Trump mobs that he's disqualified, and then we need bodyguards for everybody in civil war conditions.
This is just a warning to you Trumpers. Be careful. Walk lightly. We ain't playing with you. And for those of you who are soldiers, you know how to do it. Do it right. Beat them hurt. Make them pay.
Are they preparing a civil war against us? Should we be concerned about our safety? What is he doing with this divisive language?
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
If you had to be stuck in an elevator with either President Trump, Mike Pence, or Jeff Sessions, who would it be?
Does one of us have to come out alive?
But he's taking these shots, this antagonism, yep. This taunting to the intelligence community.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday of getting back at you.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome.
We gotta stay on the street. And we've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know that we need it.
Please, get up in the face of some Congress people.
What does Trump expect? Oh, I believe he expects violence. I believe he expects confrontation. I believe he's working toward a civil war.
When you're in the arena, you gotta be ready to take a punch. You gotta be ready to throw a punch for the children. For the children.
Not only do we need to disinvest for in police, but we need to completely dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department.
I believe that injustice is a threat to the safety of all people. Once someone doesn't have access to clean water, they have no choice but to riot, right?
If this country doesn't give us what we want, then we will burn down this system and replace it.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives. And unfortunately, there's plenty to go around.
What we've got to do is fight in Congress, fight in the courts, fight in the streets.
Fight in the streets.
No one has ever been more dangerous to this country than Donald Trump, and he is a fascist to his core.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
He should have spent a bit more time at the range. It's a pity he missed.
Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
With all due respect, we're walking down a damn different path. We're fighting fire with fire. I'm going to punch these sons of bitches in the mouth.
Could you imagine, just imagine in your mind, if you told people they couldn't vote next November? I think there would be a genuine uprising in this country.
But Michelle Wood says that, you know, when they go low, we go up. No. When they go low, we kick.
We're
gun loving, sun loving, hot blooded Texian, two stepping, outlaw free one, looking for a little fun.
The official Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit, 100% lifetime guarantee, high quality aluminum. Got the famous shot of me there with the aluminum hat. 50 square feet, 100% lifetime guarantee. Protect your mind from the globalist. I love the idea they had of an Alex Jones stress ball. People really love it. That's available. You know, fun little things, not just the widest selection of Patriot t-shirts and ball caps and hoodies and sweaters, but cool stuff like this. But now we have the official Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit. Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit now at thealexjonesstore.com.
InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today. Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Good morning, everyone. It is Wednesday, October 1st, 2025. I'm your host, Rob Deuce, sitting in for Alex Jones. He actually just left the office about 20 minutes ago to take care of a personal matter. He will be back on the air. But we had several things happen this morning. I actually came here to shoot videos earlier in the morning, and then we had some legal documents crop up, and we were analyzing those for most of the morning. I'm going to go over them with you. As you know, the government shut down overnight at midnight tonight, 12:01 actually, in the early morning hours, because the Democrats want to give health care to illegal aliens, and they want nothing more than that, and that's their line in the sand. They've drawn their line in the sand, and that is where we are with that. But I do want to get to this. There's a tweet Alex put out just a little bit ago. Red alert, the Democrats want to shut down InfoWars today in Houston federal court at 1 p.m. Read Alex Jones's legal team's exclusive filing that proves the deep state slash Democrat party's conspiracy to shut down InfoWars with unprecedented lawfare, which will set an insanely dangerous precedent for the free press. There's four screenshots of the first four pages of the filing, and then a full link to the scribd for the full 27 pages. So there's a 27-page filing, and then we're putting up a 300-page filing, which has all the evidentiary listings and court cases and everything applicable through that, all the exhibits, essentially. So it's a total of 377 pages. And so I do want to go over that. Let's just go ahead and play, though, clip one. The resolution to keep the government open has officially failed. So we are, and this is not going to be good for the Democrats. They think they're owning something on this or blaming it on Trump because he won't give health care to illegals. And, well, let's just show the history, because here it is.
The nays are 45. The 60-vote threshold having not been achieved, the bill upon reconsideration is not passed.
And there it is. It has not passed. So the Democrats are trying to blame it on Trump. Trump is calling it, I guess MAGA is basically calling it, the Schumer shutdown. Let's see. Hey, guys, clip 21. Is this Alison Steinberg questioning Maxine Waters? Okay, let's go to that, because I watched that this morning, one of the few clips I did watch this morning, watching her get visibly upset when a reporter is saying, hey, this is just, you're shutting the government down just because you can't give health care to illegal aliens, right? And Maxine Waters throws a fit. So let's go to that, and then we're going to go to this document.
Do Democrats want to prioritize the health care of illegal aliens over a government shutdown? Because if the government does shut down, Americans...
Excuse me, stop it right there. We're not prioritizing... What we're doing is saying simply we want to keep the government open, and we want to work with the Republicans and have a bipartisan agreement to keep this government open, and health care is at the top of our agenda.
But are Democrats demanding health care for illegal aliens?
That's right. Democrats are demanding health care for everybody. We want to save lives. We want to make sure that health care is available to those who would die but having the help of their government.
So you're good with the government shutdown, even if it means giving health care to people who aren't American citizens?
Well, you keep... That's what you're pushing on. What you're trying to do is you're standing here and you're trying to make me say that somehow we're going to put non-citizens over Americans. Quit it. Stop it. This is the kind of journalism we don't need.
No, I'm just
you're
asking
divisive.
Questions.
No, you're not.
Yeah, no, that's
you're being
what...
divisive. No, please. Don't, you don't need to ask that question. You're just trying to get controversy here. You're not going to get it from me. We want to save health care for all people. Thank you.
Look at that. We want to save health care for people. People being people that aren't even from this country, that don't pay taxes, that have just arrived and are getting freebies left and right. And that's what they want to do. They want nothing more than to keep their, because those are their constituents. That's, I'm sure most people watching realize that, but that's the Democrat Party constituent, is the illegal alien, is the person that they control with the Obama phone, is the person that's getting the messages down in South America. Hey, come up here. You're going to get free stuff. When Biden said, hey, you got to surge the border. And that's what they did. They surged the border. And so it's estimated 20 million people came in during O'Biden's term. But I want to turn your attention to this. We have the article on InfoWars, Red Alert. The Democrats want to shut down InfoWars today in federal court at 1 p.m. So you can go to InfoWars. You can go to at Real Alex Jones. Look at the Scribd link, the Scribd link's in there that takes you to this. Response to the Sandy Hook family's emergency joint motion for entry of an order confirming that FSS assets are not subject to automatic stay as property of the Alex Jones, Alexander E. Jones Chapter 7 estate. And what this stems from is a couple, there was a hearing in February and then there was a hearing in June, and the plaintiffs kept asking the judge to remove the stay. And the stay is basically keeping everything as it is now, keeping it rolling forward until, you know, an appeal could happen or there's some final resolution in this case. And the Sandy Hook families have filed, well, not the families, the law firms of the families have filed this motion for an emergency hearing. And it was supposed to be Friday. Then all of a sudden it's Monday. So it literally gave Alex's legal team a day and a half to put this together. They put together a 27-page preliminary response with another 350 pages of exhibits. So it's a lot to go through. I'm going to go through some of the parts for the first, you know, 15, 20 pages. First, the court should know that the oral argument took place before the Third Court of Appeals in Austin in May 2025. The petition of writ has been filed with the United States Supreme Court in Connecticut. So basically that's the first thing his legal team is saying. There's an appeal, and then there's also putting this case in front of the Supreme Court through the Connecticut case. And if these go through, well, then, and they rule in Jones's favor, well, then there's no more, you know, no more case for these guys to get money. So they're trying to, I guess, have a state receiver come in and take over and circumvent the federal appeals court. That's basically what's going on. The plaintiffs have known these issues literally for months and waited till 3:35 p.m. Friday, September 26th to file their emergency motion, and which first set the hearing for October 3rd, and now it's reset for Wednesday, October 1st, giving the parties literally 1.5 business days to respond. In addition, this is not an emergency. This is a denial of due process. So right there within the second page, talking about a denial of due process. Substantially, the Jones parties are being charitable. We would say the plaintiff's motion borders on fraudulent. That's pretty hardcore if you ever read legal documents. In truth, it so badly misstates the record in this court and other courts that it borders between truth and pre-verification is nowhere in sight. The plaintiffs have forgotten this inconvenient fact because the June 5th hearing is not referred to a single time in their motion. So what they want to do, they claim that the February 25th hearing of the supplemental order is null and void, and they cite a transcript from February 5th 11 times in their argument. And this is a lot. If you haven't been digging through the court documents and reading everything that's out there, you can go to Court Lister and find all this stuff. You can find, you can actually listen into the case today at 1 p.m., you can call in and just listen. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of left-leaning journalists in there today just waiting for the judge to basically say, all right, I'm washing my hands of this, and it's all up to the state court, which I don't think he's going to do, but we'll find out. And so there's a June 5th, there's the February court hearing and the June 5th court hearing. And the June 5th, he clarifies. They actually have a transcript from it. I got to get this close. I read in your pleadings, I went back and listened, and I'll take the blame for not being incredibly as precise as I should have been. Got to really get into this. For matters that are currently pending, the order was pending an appeal at the time, so I couldn't revoke one way or the other, right? Once bankruptcy, once an appeal is filed, the court loses jurisdiction over that. So I haven't revoked anything. I didn't have the authority to do it anyway, but to me, putting up another auction process would be incredibly complicated. So that was when Jones's lawyers came back and said, hey, what about another auction? And he didn't want to do another auction because the first auction was a miserable failure. It was supposed to be an open bidding process. Then that turned into closed bids. And then that turned into this weird formula that they came up with to give it to the Onion, who had a lower bid, a lower cash bid, which they admitted to on Good Morning America that their bid was lower in cash, but they had these other considerations, which were based on the judgments that they hadn't even received yet. So it's like, we have a time machine. We're going to get these judgments over here and bring them over here. And then we're going to use that as part of the, of our bid. So at the February 5th hearing, the plaintiffs and trustees presented a settlement, which involved in part allowing over 400 million of claims of three other persons that have not even tried a case. So they've created some deals going on where they're like, hey, we're going to bring in other people who have filed a claim or a case against Jones, but those cases haven't even gone before a court yet. Even though the court clearly recognized this again in June on the record that it could not have done so because of the pending appeal, because there's a state appeal going on for the Texas case right now in the appeals court here in Travis County. Plaintiff's response to this is ignore it like an ostrich. So the court could not nullify the September order, did not nullify the September order, and can neither interpret it as a nullify. Knowing these problems and a last-ditch effort in the two pages they raise improperly without proper evidence and seek the court to do so now. Is it no conceivable way? Now they brought me I don't know if that's going to help. They brought me a magnifying glass. Yeah, I'm pretty blind. In no conceivable way, the plaintiffs have established their entitlement to Rule 60. Which, you know, if you're in the legal world, you understand what Rule 60 is. I'm not even going to get into it at this point. Perhaps the most troubling and radically inconsistent positions of the plaintiffs have taken before the Texas state courts and strike and stark contrast to what they're advising this court. So in what it boils down to is they've made filings where they're not really interested in the amount of money they can get. They just want to shut Jones down. They want to shut Alex Jones down. That's been their position. So I want to go to, I'm actually going to jump to page 21. This is page 21 of 27, and it's under section 3. The basis for Jones and FSS new request for an order providing for a public sale of the FSS assets by cash only, sealed bid only, and sold to the highest cash bidder. The Connecticut plaintiffs are not interested in achieving a sale of FSS assets to the highest value, but only a sale that results in the destruction of Alex Jones' brand, InfoWars, and that's regarding to the Onion attempted purchase. The Connecticut and Texas plaintiffs and the Onion have announced to the trial courts, to the media, and to this bankruptcy court through their conduct and their frequent statements that their true motive is not to obtain the highest value for the assets so that the just debt may be repaid, but to destroy the value of the debtor and his assets and to obtain non-dischargeable debt that will prevent Alex Jones from exercising his freedom of press and free speech rights. This court is the gatekeeper on issues of ulterior motives and bad faith. A creditor may not cast his vote for an ulterior purpose and expect to have it counted. Ulterior motives have been held to include pure malice strikes, and blackmail, and the purpose to destroy an enterprise in order to advance the interests of a competing business. So, and what is the competing business? The competing business is the Democratic Party talking points that are basically, hey, Trump's shutting down the government because he doesn't care about people when it's they want to give health care to illegals. And we're saying, no, he's gonna shut down the government because the Democrats are forcing his hand. And now he could do a whole lot of other things. He could do a lot of firings now and a lot of stuff that he couldn't do before now that there is a government shutdown. The destruction of InfoWars brand and Alex Jones' ability to exercise his freedom of the press and freedom of speech is abusive ulterior motive. Ulterior motives which can constitute bad faith include pure malice, strikes, blackmail, and the destruction of an entity in order to advance the interests of a competing business. And like I said, the competing business is essentially the entire Democrat Party platform. And they've been after Jones since this organization and the people watching and the guests defeated Hillary Clinton back in 2016. And that's where we're at. So at 1 p.m. today, you can tune in to see if justice will prevail or if people acting in bad faith prevail. Because in my opinion, that's what they're acting in, is bad faith. And if you read these documents prepared by Alex Jones's legal team, which finally, he's got a crack legal team, and in 1.5 days, they pulled out, you know, these 27 pages, which are biting. I mean, it's a biting indictment of what these the Democrat Party law firms are trying to do. And you could say, oh, they're not Democrat Party law firms. Oh, no. Well, one of the law firms that just signed on to the case, is the partner is Kamala Harris's husband. So I'm sure there's no Democrat Party chicanery going on there. It's just coincidence. And one of the law firms got cited by Trump for $40 million for lawfare, for practicing lawfare. And they had to do $40 million in pro bono work, some of which it appears to be being used by in this Sandy Hook case. But let's go back to the shutdown, and I'll get more into this. But let's go to clip 7. Hakeem Jeffries has no answer when asked by CNN how Democrats will end the government shutdown, because they don't have a plan to fix anything. Their plan is to, whatever Trump wants to do is bad. It doesn't matter. We're not going to have a debate on it. It's just Trump bad, Trump bad. So we're continuing the Trump bad doctrine with the Democratic Party. Here's Hakeem Jeffries.
What is the exit strategy from a shutdown? Because once the government is shut down, which it will be in 2 hours, how do you get out of this? There's one Democrat who told CNN there is no way to play this shutdown game and win. And Democrats know that because Republicans for the last several shutdowns have been the ones playing this game. So how are you going to get out of it if we are in a shutdown?
Again, correct me if I'm wrong in terms of the Republican perspective, but Republicans have been lecturing America all year that they control the government and that they're jamming their policy preferences down the throats of the American people. So how is it the case that at this particular moment in time, they're suddenly at the mercy of Democrats who are in the minority in the House or in the Senate when Donald Trump has consistently behaving like he's all powerful?
Yeah, this is, that's a Demtard. And basically what he's doing is trying to pretend like you don't know anything. Well, I mean, probably the typical CNN viewer is probably like, yeah, that's right, Trump is in power. Well, it takes 60 votes to pass this budget in the Senate. This continuing resolution takes 60 votes. It's like I think they call it a supermajority. And correct me, I'm pretty sure it's 60 votes. And I think there's 52 or 53 Republican senators. So they got to get 6 or 7 on board to get it to the point where they can pass this for the Democrats. And the Democrats are all like, no, we're not doing it. We're done. You don't give free health care to illegals. We're shutting down the government. That's how they're holding us hostage. And they think no one's going to figure that out. But, you know, people watching CNN, MSNBC probably won't figure that out because that's their only source of information. Let's go to 6 is CNN again. Abby Phillips becomes visibly upset As a Republican points out how damaging a shutdown would be for the Democrats. Yeah, it's going to be very damaging. And there's a lot Trump can do. And I hope he does it. I hope he does it all. So here it is. Here's clip 6.
The Democrats are in a real box.
Who's to say they're going to work it out? Because it doesn't really sound like there's a desire to actually work anything out. They just want more time to do the job that they probably should have done,
eventually,
you know,
they have to
3 months
work it
ago.
Out. But the Democrats here are in a box because they are the party disproportionately of government. Their constituencies disproportionately are going to be hurt by a shutdown.
These are Americans who live all over. They live in your state. They live all across the country. Yeah, increasingly in red states because the Trump administration has been moving them to places like Alabama and other parts of the country.
But I'll just make a prediction. The Democrats will fold before the Republicans.
Well, Democrats are great at folding, so I wouldn't be surprised if that happens.
I didn't realize they had a Young Turk in there on the panel. You know, it's interesting. The Young Turks have really changed their tune. If you watch some of their stuff, they're actually opening dialogue up. They're not just, you know, being contrarians. So you got to commend them on that. But at some point it's like, well, you're about 8 years too late, 10 years too late. You know, there it is. Here's a breaking on President Trump on the government shutdown. This is clip 10. When you shut it down, we're laying off a lot of people, and they're going to be Democrats. They are. Disproportionately, the people who work for government in general usually tend to be Democrats because they love the machination of government. They love the control levers of government. They love to be telling people what to do in government. And for most part, conservatives and Republicans are independent, small business owners, for the most part. This isn't totally true. But for the most part, that's where the lines are drawn. You have people that think the government should do everything and be there for you at all times and, you know, wipe your butt for you. And there's people that, you know, want to have land and grow crops and do things themselves. So here's Trump on the government shutdown.
Hope you're doing. Thank you very much, Lynn. Okay, any questions, please?
Mr. President, as we inch closer to a government shutdown this morning, you said you might do a lot of layoffs. If DOGE is already reducing the federal workforce, why is it necessary to link more federal jobs cut to a shutdown?
Well, the Democrats want to shut it down, so when you shut it down, you have to do layoffs. So we'd be laying off a lot of people that are going to be very affected, and the Democrats, they're going to be Democrats. As you know, no country can afford to pay for illegal immigration, health care for everybody that comes into the country, and that's what they're insisting. And obviously, I have an obligation to not accept that. That would affect everybody. You know, when I see what we're doing with AI and all the plants that are opening up in the country, $17 trillion is coming. And if you compare that to Biden, Biden had in 4 years, less than a trillion. We have 17 trillion, more than that. I think it's going to be much more than that, David, by the end of this year. I think it's going to be far over that. It's a record. It's already a record in 8 months. It's a record by a lot. And so we're doing well as a country. So the last thing we want to do is shut it down. But a lot of good can come down from shutdowns. We can get rid of a lot of things that we didn't want. And they'd be Democrat things, but they want open borders. They want men playing in women's sports. They want transgender for everybody. They never stop. And they don't learn. We won an election in a landslide. They just don't learn. So we have no choice. I have to do that for the country. Yes.
Well, there you go. He can do a lot. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. He's got the rest of the week to really just really start cutting positions.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight. Now.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy sh! He was right about every step of the way.
How do I explain to people that my tongue is blue? Because I love this stuff, methylene blue. I'm able to work like 18-hour days sometimes. This stuff is like rocket fuel.
I didn't know you were going to plug this. You even ordered it yourself, I later learned. What is the effect of our medical-grade methylene blue been on you, Roger?
Incredible, both physical and mental energy and focus. I mean, it really is like rocket fuel. It all used to like Brain Force. Back when I did the show with Owen Schroyer, the original, the real War Room, I was a big aficionado of Brain Force. And Brain Force Plus. This is even a greater product. I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Well, I've not had any since Friday. I only take it every couple of days. So I'm going to take my dose of methylene blue at my Topo Chico. It is amazing. And people ask me, what does it do? It cleans out your mitochondria. It skips the oxidization process in the cell. It's like iodine at the next level. It is such a game changer. Roger Stone, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. God bless you.
Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there with triple action, taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone. That is the precursor to glutathione. And just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I've personally bought them for and, you know, given them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com for 50% off.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
That's right. Welcome to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Rob Deuce, sitting in for Alex while he takes care of a family emergency. There's a lot going on this week. On Friday, the Democrat Party law firms filed an emergency hearing. They had to have an emergency hearing this week. It had to happen. And so they filed it on Friday. It was supposed to be for this coming Friday, which is in a couple days, but it got moved to Wednesday at 1 p.m. And you can see the tweet there from Alex. On X, red alert, Democrats want to shut down InfoWars today in Houston federal court at 1 p.m. There's the first four pages of the response that his crack lawyer team put together in just a day and a half. The 27-page response. But if you go to this article on InfoWars, red alert, the Democrats want to shut down InfoWars today in federal court at 1 p.m. It was just posted at 11:07. There's two different scribbed links. There's one to the 27-page response, and then another one to the full 377-page response that also includes, if you get an overhead shot of this right here, our Supreme Court petition. So, which normally this is bound in a nice book and actually bind it in leather. It's leather bound, and this goes to the Supreme Court. But you can actually go in and read all the arguments they make for the Supreme Court. So that's in both of the, well, that's in the second scribd link, which is in the article. The first one is only 27 pages, but I do want to bring you back to a couple of these, and I want to get to more of these shutdown clips, especially we're going to go back in time and see what Hillary Clinton and Chuck Schumer thought about giving health care to illegals. So basically, in our response, the court must assess the true interest being benefit by the questioned activity. This is the activity of we're having fake auctions that don't really are really auctions. They're just kind of these sealed bid processes, and we're going to give it to the person who doesn't have the highest bid, admittedly. I mean, they admitted it on TV. But then you have to count in the concessions, what I believe the Onion CEO said. To determine whether the creditor is seeking to benefit itself in some way other than as a creditor acting on its claim. And it's a dual purpose. Here the determination is simple. The creditors, the plaintiffs, are seeking a political gun control victory. On page 23, by the way, if you want to follow along in your book, which plaintiffs define as the destruction of the Alex Jones brand of InfoWars. This is the ulterior motive that is not permitted in the process of bankruptcy, whether reorganization or liquidation. At both stages, the plaintiffs acted in bad faith on their ulterior motive. This conduct is not an allowed motive of a creditor. It is the motive of a political view bent on destruction of an opposed political belief. This is lawfare. This is what we're discussing right now is lawfare. The conservative voice of Alex Jones by his political opponents, the far-left progressive movement seeking gun control. This is what it's always been about. It's been about gun control and Hillary Clinton losing. I think that was the catalyst that got this whole thing kicked off. Hillary Clinton lost, and we had to find a way to make somebody responsible for that. And they made a lot of people responsible. You can look at the lawfare. We showed, I think I showed this on American Journal. It was a montage of different mugshots of people that worked with Trump, and, you know, as his lawyers, as his advisors, you know, they all had to go in front and get frog marched, you know, and get mugshots. Who have we seen so far? Comey, and he gets to do it privately, and, you know, in this boutique arraignment, which I think hasn't happened yet. It's supposed to happen on Friday. So the far left progressive movement seeking gun control financed by such organizations as Bloomberg and its supportive foundations, Everytown and The Onion. That's the political motive. The political motive is not recognized in bankruptcy and cannot be rewarded by a federal court where the goal is wholly inconsistent with the rights of a legitimate creditor and the constitutional rights of the debtor. See, you still have rights. You can't just, you know, you lose a case by default judgments from a judge. That doesn't mean you lose your constitutional rights, even though in that trial there was some questionable stuff going on. Jones couldn't say a lot of things or he would be held in contempt of court, which the judges said. Because this bankruptcy court refused to permit the Connecticut and Texas plaintiffs to control the bankruptcy auction and trustee, the plaintiffs now oppose any auction of FSS assets. That's Free Speech Systems. The plaintiffs have sought a fair and equitable distribution of, have not sought a fair and equitable distribution of bankruptcy proceeds, but to control the bankruptcy assets to accomplish and abuse the bankruptcy process. Most critically, this abuse involves the prevention of the debtor of the right to future exercise constitutional rights, freedom of the press, and free speech. Freedom of speech. If the sale proceeds, and it must be applied to those judgments as the creditors of the sale process, and depending on the outcome of the appeals, may even allow payment in full of one or both of the judgments. Allowing the operation and protection of these assets has and will continue to be for the benefit of the creditors and the Jones estate until the sale concludes, which will not be the result if the state law execution sale is conducted or if the Connecticut plaintiffs acquire the assets in other than a fair, non-collusive process. And that goes to an interesting footnote down here on 15. Although the plaintiffs are free to acquire FSS assets through a fair bidding process for cash, the stated purpose of the purchase is to destroy the value of InfoWars or Alex Jones brand. The perverted motive is addressed below and its impact on the claims allowance processes. Now here it is on I guess this is section 50, not section 50, but line item 50, number 50. Although the Connecticut plaintiffs have been consistent in their demand to destroy Jones's ability to earn an income from his exclusively owned persona, the image, the name, the voice, etc., to silence his free expression of political and other opinions as an on-air news media, not only that position is irrelevant to the economic interests of the bankruptcy system itself, but also when it rises to the level of abuse of process that uses the bankruptcy system to accomplish an unconstitutional political goal, which is to take away Jones' First Amendment rights. In fact, the abuse of process conduct, it is contrary to the bankruptcy fresh start. Because after this bankruptcy, they're still going to be hounding Alex Jones, even where a claim is found to be non-dischargeable. If the claims of Connecticut are to have its debt declared non-dischargeable, then it cannot, under any good faith application of any bankruptcy policy approved by the Supreme Court or congressional intent, be consistent with destroying the debtor's ability to earn an income to pay its non-dischargeable debts. Because what they want to do is they want Alex to walk off into the sunset, never to be heard from again. The voice that woke up millions upon millions of people out there. Some of you are listening to me now. You remember when Alex Jones woke you up. Okay? That's the power they want to stop. They want to stop the man who told people, hey, when you're reading this headline, let's flip a switch. Boom. And let's look at it from a different perspective. Not the perspective the mainstream media is feeding you, but the perspective of truth based on the Constitution. They didn't like him being on YouTube and getting billions upon billions of views. They didn't like that. So they had to silence him back in 2018. And then when he tried recently to get back on after they said, hey, we're going to allow people back on, then it became, oh, no, we're just going to do this sort of slow phased rollout of just certain people. You know, because the head of Google right there, Sundar Pichai, didn't like being chased through the halls of Congress, being told he's evil by one Alex Jones. They didn't like that. It's amazing. This counterintuitive position to the definition is the definition of abuse of process, or what we're calling lawfare. Abuse of process, lawfare. You can go back to page 2. We talk about denial of due process. When a political agenda, as here, is the ulterior motive, defined as taking a lawful legal position only to advance a contrary political agenda. And that's basically where we're at. And then you could go the conclusion. That's the first 27 pages. The next page after that, you can go read the Supreme Court arguments. Alexander E. Jones, Free Speech Systems, LLC, petitioners versus Erica Lafferty et al. Respondents. And that was written by Ben Brooks, Alan Daugherty, and Shelby Jordan, along with a host of other paralegals and whatnot involved. So I encourage you to go read those. I actually sent a copy to Bob Barnes. I don't know if he's going to be able to look at it. And I want to jump from this. So at 1 o'clock, we'll be tuning in and we'll let you know what the judge says in his judge. It could be quick. It could be 15 minutes. It could be an hour and a half. I remember one night we were here in December of 2024, on pins and needles till about, was it 11:30 when he finally concluded. He did what we call in the video world is recapping the day, but not recapping the day. He recapped the entire case from front to back as he saw it and then said, I can't let this sale go through. It wasn't a proper sale. Cash is king is what he said. Cash is king. And I want to get to these flashback clips of Schumer and Hillary Clinton, but just to let you know, the way we're on air now is when you go out and you support us by buying products at thealexjonesstore.com or infowarsstore.com. But thealexjonesstore.com is where we have some amazing deals. Right now, we're doing these buy one, get one free deals of different products. It was methylene blue the first couple days. Now, the last two, it's been ultimate creatine powder, and we're blowing through it. That's our biggest seller for the last couple days, that and the colostrum, the bovine colostrum. But right now, you can get ultimate creatine powder, buy one, get one free. For a limited time. This may be the last day. It may go to another day, but don't wait. Don't wait. Open up that window in your browser right now and get one of these and you get another one free. And you can try it out, especially if you're working out. That's what historically, creatine's been used by bodybuilders to build up muscle mass. But now people are looking at it and going, wow, all these amino acids and these enzymes and stuff is actually good for your brain. Your brain is running, is being run on creatine powder, and it helps with mental function. So check it out, thealexjonesstore.com for the ultimate creatine powder. Buy one, get one free. Ultimate creatine fuels muscle gains, forging a leaner, stronger physique by boosting ATP production, enhancing muscle during high intensity lifts. It also sharpens mental focus for complex tasks. Creatine supports brain phosphocreatine, boosting cognitive ability under stress. Kind of what we've been on here for a long time at InfoWars. We've been under this, the stress of bankruptcy, the stress of lawfare, the stress of just being in the arena. And so by people out there watching the show, getting the information and then acting upon it, but by supporting us, that's how we're continue to go. We want to go longer. Whenever this finally wraps up, we're going to go 19 hours. That's one of my favorite shirts, actually. Go back to that extra strength autism. I mean, literally with that announcement that RFK Jr. and Donald Trump made about how Tylenol, in addition with the vaccines, is contributing to the autism epidemic because it's pulling out certain chemicals in your body. I think it's the folic acid. It's killing all the folic acid, which is what babies need. I remember, you know, when my wife was pregnant, she was taking folic acid supplements that had, you know, these prenatal vitamins have folic acid in them, because that's what you need to create a healthy baby. Among other things, you know, not smoking and drinking and getting exercise and, but not being too stressed. You can't be too stressed either. So good luck to all you mothers out there. And, cause we need more conservative kids and conservative parents having conservative kids. So let's go to these time travel clips. We're going to travel back in time. We're going to go to Hillary Clinton first, saying we should not give taxpayer funded healthcare benefits to illegal aliens or encourage illegal immigration. What happened? What happened, Hillary? It's different now, huh? Well, let's go to Hillary Clinton, clip 14.
As to illegal aliens, we agree with you that we do not think the comprehensive health care benefits should be extended to those who are undocumented workers and illegal aliens. We do not want to do anything to encourage more illegal immigration into this country. We know now that too many people come in for medical care as it is. We certainly don't want them having the same benefits that American citizens are entitled to have.
And then it goes to, what difference does this make anyway at this point? Now she doesn't care. She's all in for it. Now let's go to Chuck Schumer. 1996, rails against illegals getting taxpayer-funded benefits, but now he wants to shut down the government in order to give those people those same benefits, and more people. Because in 1996, the immigration levels weren't like what they are now. So here's Chuck Schumer.
This is an anti-fraud amendment. All over where we go, people say, well, why can't you stop illegal immigrants or others from coming here? And the number one answer we give our constituents is, when they come here, they can get jobs, get benefits against the law because of fraud. And here, the gentleman from Florida has put together the most effective anti-fraud measure we can find without it changing the actions of the government one bit. And we find all this opposition. Ladies and gentlemen of this chamber, what I worry about is that this bill, which started out with good intentions, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, is going to end up being the same kind of thing that the public gets angry with us on. We say we're doing something, and we do nothing. Because every time someone makes a rational and small proposal to get something done, people say, well, what about this hypothetical, that hypothetical, etc. I urge support of this amendment. If you believe you want to stop fraud in immigration, you have no choice but to support this amendment.
Gentleman's time has expired.
What happened, Chuck Schumer? What happened? Now you're literally drawing your line in the sand. That was a great video Trump posted of Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer. You're drawing your line in the sand is, we have to give illegals free health care, because those are our constituents. That's who support us. That's the reason we're able to get elected to office, because we have these people move into congressional districts and weight them differently. So they all move into cities, which give these cities more congressional representatives. And they get more electoral votes because they have a higher population. I actually approve Trump's plan of just highlighting citizens. And no, if you're here illegally, you shouldn't get any benefits. Sorry. We're in enough trouble as it is, okay? Go help your people. Speaking of illegals, clip 22, they had 300 federal agents raiding a building in Chicago. And they were actually rappelling down the building. Now, on the surface, no, this is not something I want to see, troops on the street. No. But they're not there for suppressing American citizens. They're there to get rid of illegal aliens. And at some point, you got to do something. Only a million of them left on their own. So the rest, they're dug in like an Alabama tick. So you got to dig them out. Here is some video of what happened last night.
Led 300 federal officials to that apartment complex. Some even rappelled down from Blackhawks onto the rooftop in order to help secure that perimeter. Now, they were searching for suspected members of the violent Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua. Of course, TDA has been designated as a terrorist organization under the Trump administration. Now, it was the biggest show of force that we've ever seen on the ground here. We had agencies, FBI, Border Patrol, ICE, and ATF all involved here, and they were all looking for targets in that same exact building. It was a five-story building. It was a tall task for them, and anything could have gone wrong. But luckily, the operations went pretty smoothly. Preliminary reports show that about 30 illegal immigrants were arrested in this operation, some of them suspected Tren de Aragua. Now, we talked with Chief Gregory Bovino, who's running the operations on the ground for many of these ops in Chicago, and he had some words for people that are pushing back against his operations. Take a listen.
How about you live in the apartment next door to Tren de Aragua members that are trafficking in prostitution, guns, drugs, and taking advantage of American citizens in a violent way? Why don't you live next to them and then see how much of a Gestapo or a Nazi we are?
Yeah, there was video like 2 years ago in somewhere outside of Denver. Or I think it was Aurora, Colorado, where they were literally menacing people, open with guns, just walking around, pulling people out of their apartments, taking over apartments, squatting, and the public officials and mayor were like, oh no, it's not happening, because they couldn't admit to any of these problems. And then it's because they won't admit to these problems that the federal government has to come in and start cleaning up, because the states aren't doing their job to protect their citizens. The county sheriff's not doing his job protecting the citizens. So you have to send in the federal assets. This isn't a case where, like in the Bundys, where the feds were going in and trying to cull and steal his herd because of something he's been doing forever, which is letting them graze on their precious grassland, which is what you're supposed to do with these animals. That's what the grasslands are for. They're for the ruminant animals to create protein. That's how it happens. You put a cow in the grass, he eats, and he makes protein that you eat, that we can eat, because we're not eating grass. Guys, I don't see it on the list, but what I want to play McBreen's report coming up in the next hour, so just be sure we have that one, the report that Darren worked with Alex on last night. Because there was a... You know, today's internet, you see something, and if it's too good to be true, it's probably AI created. And one guy got on TikTok and said, look at this Palantir ad that Palantir just put out. It's about the cashless society. And basically, it's talking about everything Palantir and Microsoft and Oracle and Amazon and Google, all these organizations are already doing. They're already setting up. Apple's one of them too. They're already setting up the cashless control grid. And they're going to try to do it with CDBCs. and they're going to try to do it with, you know, digital coins and get rid of cash. And then they're going to do it with a social credit score that they've been testing this for years in China. You've seen the Black Mirror episodes where the girl says something wrong, somebody gets it on camera, boom, she's under violation. Well, some group, it's a Bitcoin group, actually put out a really slick video about a girl going through her life in a cashless society control grid. And that's the future. That's already happening in China. You can't get on a bus, you can't get a plane ticket unless you're following the approved rules, unless you're getting the approved shots. That's how it works. It's not about having an informed citizenry who is basically in charge of their destiny. No, no, no. It's about people listening to their government overlords. And that's where it's going. That's where it's all going. Finishing up on some of this ICE, let's go to clip four. This is a short clip. ICE sweep of Minneapolis-St. Paul finds 50% of immigrants had committed immigration fraud. What a surprise. Here it is, clip four.
Since September 19th, officers from our Fraud Detection and National Security Directorate, working in teams, have conducted over 1,000 site visits across the Minneapolis-St. Paul area as part of this operation. What they found should shock all of America. Focusing on a list of over 1,000 target cases involving more than 900 individuals, our officers encountered blatant marriage fraud, visa overstays, people claiming to work at businesses that can't be found, forged documents, abuse of the H-1B visa system, abuse of the F-1 visas, and many other discrepancies. Over the course of the operation, our officers found indication of fraud, non-compliance, or public safety and national security concerns in nearly a little less than 50% of the cases interviewed.
There you go. I want to get one more. Well, I don't think we have time to get to this clip. But there were some ICE agents trying to pull some illegals into an elevator, and some protesters were getting in there, and they got a little comeuppance. And, you know, I don't celebrate that type of action from our government, but only when it's necessary. And in this case, you got people that aren't following the law, they're breaking the law, and we need to take control of our country. Otherwise, we don't have a country. Oh, in fact, here it is. As we go to break, you can see the shove. And get out. And one of them's laying down there like he's been hurt. All right, we'll be right back.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it and how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the IRC Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at thealexjonesstore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.
leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones.
These shows aren't some genre and, ooh, they're entertaining and, wow, this guy's intense. Why do you think I'm intense? I'm under total attack. I've been hunted for decades by these people. They've attacked my whole family. Our family's never been stronger because we're not wimps and we understand we're doing God's work. But I'm in a war and you better realize you are too. Do you understand that? My God, they've killed over 30 million people with the poison shots. They flood us with fentanyl. They're absolutely in every major public and most private schools with grants, secretly brainwashing your sons and daughters to think they're another sex and make them totally mentally ill and then be mutilated chemically or surgically. It is a devil cult. It's the same program worldwide. It's BlackRock. It's the New World Order. It's the transhumanist on record. They say the future's not human. They're building this nightmare world, and we're simply saying no, and we're valiantly fighting because on the other end of this, if we fail, is total enslavement and a nightmare hellscape. So just understand, you think I want to do this? You think I want to fight 18 hours a day? You think I want to do all this just so I can act tough? No, I've got to do it. Somebody walks up to me and punches me in the nose, or somebody walks up to me and it punches my kid in the head. I'm not happy about it, but I'm going to get pissed off and I'm going to go after him. It's the same thing in politics, folks. How much are you going to take? You got to get vocal. You got to get informed. You got to get engaged. You got to spend money and support the people that are tip of the spear. You've got to amplify all that, and you should get vocal, and you should get engaged as well. I know a lot of you are, but, man, you got to do this with urgency. You're like, oh, it sounds like work.
I don't know, man. That sounds like a lot of work.
No, you're meant to do this, and the future is so dark if you don't, but we're turning the tide. We're winning. But they're going to false flag. They're going to pull out the stops. They've already implemented the Podesta plan. Everything I told you is happening. But they're totally freaked out. And all over the news just saying, he's on his last gasp. Get him off. The Democrats, the senators, just get him off. Just get him off. Just shut him off. Because I got their number. I got their name. I got their ass. And they're little minions. Most of them are compartmentalized. They don't know how all this works. They're getting decompartmentalized. A lot of them aren't pure evil, are waking up and joining us and whistleblowing. Or just walking away. You can do that too. Just walk away. Run up the white flag. Because you're in a war against us, and we're winning, and we're going to win. And where your bosses are taking you is hellish. The only way you fail is not joining us. Admit you're the bad guys. Some of you can admit that to yourself. You're not totally turned over to evil yet. Be like Darth Vader. Throw your political system lovingly, nonviolently down the reactor shaft. Become honorable for once. It's exhilarating. It's a blessing to fight evil. It's so animating, as Thomas Jefferson said. The animating contest of liberty. You have to live the life of Thomas Jefferson to really read Thomas Jefferson. And then it's so much stronger. Trump doesn't want you eating bugs. He wants you eating ribeye with lobster with him. Trump doesn't want big giant wars. That's stupid. No, Klaus Schwab and King Charles and Barack Obama want you eating bugs while they eat ribeye because they're feudalist, greedy, hateful, demonic trash. And you don't hate them enough. And you don't support the people fighting for you enough. I'm not saying that to everybody, but in general, you don't detest these people enough, and you don't love the people fighting for you enough, because if you loved yourself, you would understand these people have a predatory hatred of you and your family. Just look at them. Look at Keir Starmer. Look at Macron. Look at these people. Look at Hillary Clinton. Just look at them. Look at George Soros. Look at Alexander Soros. Look! Their actions are pure evil, and they look like serial killers or something, because they are. Did you let Alexander Soros babysit your daughter or son? Married to Uba Abedin, the pedo handler for Wiener, he's some bad hombres. El Diablo, that's a bad man right there. Your cells know that's an enemy. Your skin crawls, and they know your skin crawls. They hate themselves, and they hate you. They're projecting their hatred of themselves onto you. Well, guess what? I love myself, and I love you. And Trump loves himself, and he loves you. I love you. They hate you. Now start loving yourself or start being a slave. God, it's so simple. Ugh.
love a gun, loving fun, loving hot-blooded Texian. Two-stepping, outlaw free, one looking for a little fun.
The official Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit, 100% lifetime guarantee, high-quality aluminum. Got the famous shot of me there with the aluminum hat. 50 square feet, 100% lifetime guarantee. Protect your mind from the globalist. I love the idea they had of an Alex Jones stress ball. People really love it. That's available. You know, fun little things, not just the widest selection of Patriot t-shirts and ball caps and hoodies and sweaters, but cool stuff like this. But now we have the official Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit. So get your Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit now at thealexjonesstore.com.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
We are live. It's the second hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Rob Dew. You can follow me on X at Dews News, D-E-W-S-N-E-W-Z. And there is a press conference that's about to happen. We may go to it at any time. I thought it would already be started, probably on the shutdown and some of the steps President Trump's going to take. So as soon as that happens, there's a shot of it right there. I guess Carolyn Leavitt's probably going to come out. I imagine along with a few others, it looks like it's going to be a full house in there. They're standing room only in the press corps. But I want to get to, a few more clips of these ICE agents out there working and confronting people in Portland. Here's clip 27. And then if it doesn't look like it's going to happen, we'll go to this longer report on the fake Palantir ad. But let's go to clip 27. This is ICE agents jumping out of vans and arresting Antifa members, something that should have happened 8 years ago. These entitled children have lived under such a great system for so long. They're like, oh, look, this is imperial. This is fascist. You know, and all the federal government is doing is trying to get rid of illegal aliens, something that the American people voted for. The American people didn't vote for more illegals to come into the southern border. And by getting rid of illegals, one, you're going to raise wages because then there's going to be less people taking jobs that most people want. You know, you can't even be a carpenter in this country and make a good living wage because the wages have been driven down by cheap labor coming up from the South. And it's not just Mexico. It's all South America. And I'm not taking anything. These guys are all hardworking. I've seen a crew of Mexican guys get up there or Hispanics and, you know, roof a house in 2 days, a big house. But these are jobs that were originally done by people who lived in this country, and they were paid a better wage. They were getting benefits. Now, these guys come in with their family members, and they go, hey, we're going to fit 15, 20 in an apartment because we don't have the same values as you Americans. And so we can hold our costs down, and we're not paying taxes, and we're getting all these extra benefits. So we're already ahead up. Look at our brand new trucks we're driving. So you can't compete with that. And then you have these companies that hire these people. And they do it, well, you know, my competition's hiring them, so I got to hire them. So it's a no-win situation until you get rid of the illegals. So if you're illegal, get your ass out. Clip 34, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who looks like death warmed over, says she just came out of the House chamber and she wants to protect Americans' health care. She doesn't say American citizens, Americans' health care, because everyone in the world is now an American, I guess. Here it is, clip 34.
Hey, everyone. Debbie Wasserman Schultz here. Just came off the House floor.
where Democrats in the House tried to get Republicans to hear our legislation that would keep the government open, lower health care costs, end the cuts, and save Americans' health care. And Republicans ignored us and would not let us even take a step forward. They gaveled in, they gaveled out. Democrats are here ready to work. Republicans are on vacation, and they will own the shutdown and the increased health care costs. We're not going to stand for it.
The increased health care costs. No, so it's going to cost more money not to give illegals free health care? She's got to square that one for me, because I don't know how that even works out. But that's dimtard logic for you right there. I mean, these people are something else. You know, we have a 2-minute clip of Nancy Pelosi, but I don't even know if it's worth it. Let's go. This is Ted Cruz talking about Antifa isn't organic. It's paid for, something we've said for years ad nauseum. You know, Kamala Harris was bailing these people out of jail during the riots. They're trying to claim like she wasn't. Now it's different. Now it's like, oh, I wasn't doing that. Well, here's the tweet with the number. Okay, Kamala. All right, let's go to clip 33, and then I want to go to this long report. We'll come back, and I'll introduce it. Here we go.
But I'll tell you this, Antifa is a terrorist organization. They have been a terrorist organization for years. I have been calling on the Trump administration, the first Trump administration, to designate them as a terrorist organization. President Trump has now done so, and I appreciate that. It's the right thing to do. And here's the critical piece. Antifa doesn't rise up organically. It is paid for. And here's what we must do. Follow the money. How much of Antifa is paid for by Qatar? How much of it is paid for by Iran? How much of it is paid for by communist China? And how much of it is paid for by left-wing billionaires like George Soros and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, who also are massive donors to Democrats? Part of the reason why the Biden administration and every Democrat in Congress turns a blind eye to the violence and terrorism of Antifa is the same people writing the checks are writing the checks and funding their campaigns. And
how much was paid for by USAID grants? I mean, millions and millions and millions of dollars. That's how you get these people out there. The ringleaders definitely get paid a lot. And then you got the foot soldiers that are, you know, disgruntled kids who don't want to get a job, or skaters. You know, they have parents who are taking care of them, so they don't have to, like, really go out and earn a living. So they're able to spend their time bitching about the country. Somebody comes along and says, hey, you guys want to go riot? Like, yeah, let's go riot. And they think it's cool to riot and hit people with skateboards. But they don't want to do anything. They don't want to do anything to help the country. You know, they're not going to join the armed services, although some of them have. I mean, now we're starting to find, seems like some Antifa, some commies are in there, but Hegseth's going to bunch around. There's our old Alien Workshop skateboards. That's a relic from a far gone day. I've been in this building since, I think they moved in here. I was before I got here, December of 2008. I showed up in February of 2009. So it's been a long run, which may or may not end today. We got a federal court hearing today in federal bankruptcy court in Houston. Judge Lopez will be hearing some arguments from both sides. So we went over the 27-page document, which you can find on Alex's X or on InfoWars under the headline Red Alert. The Democrats want to shut down InfoWars today and federal court at 1 p.m. Because that's what they want to do. They want to control. And that's what these groups, Microsoft and Google and Oracle and Palantir, all want to set up control grid systems. Because they have read the plans. They've read Agenda 2030. They've read Agenda 21. They've read the Club of Rome documents. And it's not about having people who are informed and making decisions and running their own lives. No, it's about command and control. So when people put out their Twitter videos like, check out this Palantir ad, but it's not really a Palantir ad, but it's showing you what these types of organizations are going to be doing to you in the future. So that was a report put out by Alex last night, and then we'll come back. Here it is.
In the last 24 hours, a video went super viral. Reportedly, a Palantir ad advertising what the company's going to do with the social credit score. The big question was, is this a real Palantir ad? Well, we found out. But first, here's a content creator on TikTok who believed it was real and gave his take on it.
There is this new Palantir commercial ad that just came out that you guys need to check out. You guys do remember who Palantir is, right? The new data integration company that's helping the Department of Defense, the IRS, the DOD, DOGE, and all the, and ICE, the people's handle immigration. But check this thing out, y'all. This is crazy.
Good morning, citizens. Your overnight account balances have been updated. Time to start a productive day. Final notice, your account balance is below 500. You need 50 credits by the end of the day to avoid automatic eviction. If you have missed work due to illness, you must provide a doctor's note to reclaim your credits.
Hey. Any credits? Please.
See, citizen, you still get a car. You still
tensions are high today with more people planning
just
to join the Citizens Against Digital Control protest. Remember, the government knows who you are at all times. Resisting is not worth the consequences. All of their newest social credit systems are designed to keep you and your family safe and efficient.
Authorities seized a record balance of an individual's credits, citing excessive hoarding.
Traffic violation detected. 7 miles per hour over the limit. 75 credits have been automatically deducted.
You have to be fucking kidding me.
Your safety is our priority.
Yep, you got the flu.
Your blood work shows a significant iron deficiency. I recommend incorporating more red meat into your diet.
Dr. Jones, your taxes were not filed and have been automatically deducted with late fees. Your medical license has been revoked.
Let's pause right there.
Oh, hell no.
Let's pause right there. So, look, he prescribes red meat. And the social credit system goes, oh, wait a minute. The little AI computers that are listening to everything are going, wait, he's prescribing red meat to this girl? No, we can't have that. Oh, wait, we found your taxes aren't done right. Oh, you put an extension? Oh, sorry, we don't have that extension. Sorry, we're gonna have to send in the feds to take you away, re-educate you. All right, let's continue.
Filed an extension.
She's not gonna get the meat.
Purchase denied. Monthly red meat allowance exceeded. Try mealworms instead.
Bug burgers.
Please let me through.
Attention. Unauthorized political gathering detected. Participants' access to financial services has been suspended.
Now look, because she stopped there, she's probably going to get put in the dragnet.
Due to the speeding infraction, your car will be immobilized for 3 days.
Fuck you! Take your surveillance policies and rot in hell!
You've earned 50 bonus credits for reporting your neighbor's hateful misconduct.
It's always a guy in a hoodie.
This content exceeds your current social credit tier. May we suggest citizen responsibility? Sarah, open the door. You have been identified by the authorities. Don't resist. Don't resist. Don't resist.
That's right. Your eviction notice has
come out. This was a fake Palantir ad. But I'm not the guardian of Palantir. I'm not the attack dog for Palantir. I started seeing corporate media, New York Times, Washington Post, all these CIA-backed groups about 2 years ago start going, you know what, America? There is a social credit score. There is a mark of the beast. There is this system of social credit score, and it's Palantir. I'm like, wow, 15 years ago, Alexa listened to us in our houses, and you got Sentinel and the federal government AI, and you've got really the three big companies, Microsoft, and then Jeff Bezos' Amazon, and Larry Ellison's Oracle, that run over 90% of all this, is already in place. So why are we being told Palantir just invented this and did this? And it's because Palantir is trying to come into the government with Trump and use this system against the deep state. And I'm not defending that. This is all a Trojan horse. This is all completely out of control. Even all the big tech heads admit AI will probably end humanity as we know it. So I'm not defending what Palantir's up to. I'm simply saying this system is already in place. And if you look at Larry Ellison coming out recently and saying, AI is going to be great. It'll control society, watch what you do, and make you behave yourself.
Your body cams will be transmitting that. The police will be on their best behavior because we're constantly recording, watching and recording everything that's going on. Citizens will be on their best behavior because we're constantly recording and reporting everything that's going on.
And he's getting really the huge contracts. So all the attacks on Palantir is because Palantir is trying to muscle in to the trough and stick its nose into that and be used to carry out Trump's agenda. Just like the Democrats in Denver recently turned off the federal license plate reading system that were put in decades ago with grants because it was being used by ICE to find illegal aliens. So people need to know why you know about Palantir, but don't know about Oracle, don't know about Microsoft, don't know about Google, don't know about Amazon, all of it. I want you to be aware of it all. It's like saying only Israel can be corrupt. I cover Israeli corruption all day. Communist China, the drug cartels, Larry Fink, BlackRock, Big Pharma. I want to cover all the predatory groups, not just focus on one. And people say that's a distraction. No, they're involved in the distraction. Meanwhile, as I told you many years ago, it's now official. Bill Gates at the UN level through international standardization, just like he's in charge of vaccines worldwide and your medical care, has now come out with the official UN report for the central bank digital currency and the standardized cashless society and the digital ID to get online that will then be your personal ID. Bill Gates has already been given the keys to the digital kingdom. It ain't come with Palantir. It's already here. Australia, the UK, Canada, it's all going in right now to track and control everything you do. And Keir Starmer says, oh, it's to stop the boat migrants that George Soros and the UN are funding that the Navy can grab and ship back. So they use the replacement migration invasion they've run as the pretext to sell us on the control grid. And really, it's to put in place everything you just saw that is in the fake Palantir ad. Palantir didn't create that. A PR firm whose symbol is a Trojan horse. How perfect for all of this. They created it, jumping on the hype. If I wanted hundreds of millions of views a day, I'd talk Palantir, Palantir, Palantir. If I wanted hundreds of millions of views a day, I would just talk about Israel killing Charlie Kirk. If Israel killed Charlie Kirk, I'll go there. But because the system is discredited, because nobody believes establishment corporate media, which is good, remember I pioneered exposing that, now the system knows how to pose as the alternative, as the outsider, as the resistance, and then they inject establishment messages through that. That's what's happened. So I'm not telling you what to think. I'm not going over each story. I'm simply saying, realize, when you see people claiming they're anti-establishment, they had a particular narrative that first came from the corporate media, you know there's a setup. All of this tech is oppressive. All of it is a Trojan horse. All of it is dehumanizing. All of it, at the international standardization, is meant to go to direct brain chip interface with AI. That's what's happening. That's the reality. And it's not being done from perspective of empowering us, but a perspective of ending humanity as we know it. As you've all known, Harari and others have said at the World Economic Forum, the future's not human. Well, I know the future's human, and I'm here to defend the human future, and that means I expose all points of the compass. So this was a fake Palantir ad, but everything you see in that ad has been in place for at least 9 years in communist China. It's not a futuristic nightmare vision or warning. It's telling you what's already happened in the past. So what you see here is not some futuristic vision of Palantir. It's what's already currently happening, deployed by big tech and now rolling out via stealth in the West via Keir Starmer and others. And that, my friends, is the reality. That's why you have to have a debate and a discussion about the mark of the beast, about the Antichrist system, and raise awareness of that so that the public gets engaged in the debate so we take control of the future and all the technocrats manipulate us. That's the reality, that's the facts, and that's what we're currently dealing with, not some futuristic 1984 vision, but a technocracy that's been here for a long time. Be aware, get engaged, get informed, and use your power now, because humanity, with the Holy Spirit behind us, is unstoppable. Thank you so much for your support.
All right, that was Alex Jones. We go now to live to the White House with J.D. Vance. Carolyn Leavitt just made a statement about Trump. Basically, while the Democrats were trying to get health care for illegals, and I have a clip on that where they admit it coming up as well, Trump was doing Trump RX to get cheap drug prices for Americans, and also going creating a new AI system to basically analyze all these studies to help find cures for pediatric cancer. What are the Democrats doing? Bitching for more health care for illegals. Here's J.D. Vance.
Yes. Great. Well, thank you, Caroline, and good afternoon to everybody, and good afternoon to everybody who's watching at home. It's a tough act to follow, but let me just say a few things, and then I'll take a few questions. Number one, Democrats say that they care a lot about lowering health care costs, and yet, when the president took historic action to work with the drug companies to lower prescription drug prices, the Democrats did nothing to help us. In fact, we would have loved to have the Democrats helping us, but they didn't. They talk about doing something. They don't actually do the hard work of making it happen. What they have done instead is to shut down the government because we won't give billions of dollars to health care funding for illegal aliens. That is what has actually happened. To the American people who are watching, the reason your government is shut down at this very minute is because, despite the fact that the overwhelming majority of congressional Republicans and even a few moderate Democrats supported opening the government, the Chuck Schumer AOC wing of the Democratic Party shut down the government because they said to us, we will open the government, but only if you give billions of dollars of funding for health care for illegal aliens. That's a ridiculous proposition. Let me say two other quick things, and then again, I'll take some questions. Number one, we all understand that Democrats and Republicans have policy disagreements. The Democrats want to do things. Look, when Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries were in here a couple of days ago, they made some suggestions that the president was more than happy to say, yes, let's sit down and talk about how we can solve the health care crisis that we inherited from the Biden administration. But it's one thing to say that we should solve the health care crisis for Americans. It's another thing to say that we're going to shut down the government unless we give the Democrats every single thing that they want, which, as Caroline said, includes giving billions of dollars of taxpayer funding for health care for illegal migrants. That's ridiculous. You don't have policy disagreements that serve as the basis for a government shutdown. Let's have the conversation about how to fix American health care, about how to make health care more accessible. As the president showed, he's more than willing to act on behalf of the American people for this very reason. What you don't do is say, unless you do exactly what we want to do as congressional Democrats, we're taking a hostage. And the hostage, it turns out, is critical, essential services that the American people need. Caroline talked about some of it. Let me talk about some more. Our troops are not getting paid starting today because of the Chuck Schumer wing of the Democratic Party. We have people who require food assistance, low-income Americans who require food assistance, who will not get it unless we reopen the government, thanks to Chuck Schumer and his
All right, we're about to go to break. And coming up, we're going to have Kyle Seraphim on his update with the Charlie Kirk assassination. But I want to play this Ro Khanna clip real quick. Here it is. They are giving money to illegals, and he admits it.
In terms of health care, the reality is they're just not being honest. The amount of money that actually is going towards people who are undocumented is such a small portion of the Medicaid cuts or the Affordable Care Act, if at all. And so we can argue that point, but the reality that even the vice president would acknowledge, that anyone who looks at the numbers will acknowledge, is 90 to 95% of the funding
we know you're
we're
lying.
Talking about.
It's not going to happen. Kyle Seraphim's up next.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com.
Chase. Good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects, the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Unless you've been hiding under a rock, everyone knows that Shilajit is one of the most incredible super nutrients, and they don't even know how it's formed deep under the earth. It's just got incredible amino acids and natural peptides that nothing else has. And what does it do for you? Everything. Your skin, your clarity, your focus. I'm on this stuff. Your wife, your girlfriend will thank you. That's just a little side issue. Shilajit's awesome, but this is the best, purest, strongest Shilajit with a whole bunch of other badass stuff in it. We throw the kitchen sink at you because we want it to work, and it will. And it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. So get this great t-shirt design and hundreds of others, the biggest selection, at thealexjonesstore.com. Funding the Second American Revolution worldwide. God almighty. Anybody who's halfway informed about health and vitality knows that turmeric is one of the top super nutrients in the world. But concentrated turmeric is what you want. Most turmeric pills are 4%. That's raw. This is the strongest, 95% curcuminoid, with a bunch of other concentrated super nutrients like ginger and black pepperdine. And it's finally back in stock. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies at thealexjonesstore.com. Just go see what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says about turmeric. And this stuff is the Godzilla of turmeric. And it funds the InfoWar. And while you're at thealexjonesstore.com, be sure to check out the widest selection anywhere of Patriot 1776 Part 2. Incredible clothing, ball caps, t-shirts, hoodies. It's all there, like this baby, the Second American Revolution, at thealexjonesstore.com. And you're funding the tip of the spear in the Second American Revolution when you support us. So I thank and salute you all. Now take action at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
You found it, the tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show.
Must be some kind of way out of here. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Rob Due. Joining me is FBI whistleblower Kyle Serafim. He's got some updates on, I believe, the Jan 6 pipe bomber case. And also, we're going to talk about what's going on with the Charlie Kirk case. And there was no pre-interview, so this will all be on the fly. But there's been a lot of, it seems to be, the citizen journalists have come out and said, we're going to start doing our own investigation because we don't trust what the FBI is doing. Kyle, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Rob. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How do you feel just overall in general that the basics, the citizenry out there is going, we don't trust the FBI's investigation, whatever they're telling us, so we're going to do our own. I think overall that's a good thing, but what does that say about the current state of the FBI in general?
Well, it says a couple of things. First of all, you're spot on. A lot of people don't trust the FBI with good reason. And I think people had two choices in front of them after what we experienced in 2020 and the way that COVID went down and the way the government overreach happened. So we saw something really specific go down. It was a mindset shift for Americans, and they chose one of two paths. And one path was, I don't believe anybody. I think everybody's lying to me. That's probably a pretty healthy thing to think. And I'm going to be a skeptic. So whatever information comes my way, I'm going to be very aggressive about how I evaluate it. And I'm going to be distrustful first. So I'm going to do a trust but verify. I'm going to do a, you give me the information and the evidence. I'll stay open-minded, but I'm not going to believe you just by default. So that was one path. And the other path is kind of a little bit more dangerous. We're seeing a lot of this go on out there, and especially if you follow stuff on X and you're watching the way that some people sort of evaluate what comes from the FBI, comes from the local prosecutors, and so on and so forth. They say, whatever I want to believe is good because everybody's going to lie to me anyway, so I'm just going to believe my own thing, and I don't need any evidence because my opinion is already formed, and so whatever I find is going to be justifiable, and I'll just create the sort of path of facts as I go along. I think that's really dangerous, and I think that comes from this place where, you know, the American attention span has fundamentally changed, let's call it in the last 20-something years. Well, when you and I grew up, you used to have to wait for a show to show up. It would, you know, be on Fridays, or it'd be on Thursdays, or it'd be on some specific day of the week, and you'd have to wait through commercials as you were doing it. You know, today we can binge watch everything. We can see all the things we want all the time. If you want to go watch every episode of The X-Files, you can go get it right now. You can buy it, and you can have it at your fingertips, and you can play it from your TV without even having, you know, an extra device. And we have that same mentality about questions we have about going on in the world.
So yeah, we want to know
all
immediately.
Of the Charlie Kirk facts.
Yeah.
Right? Like we expect to have it available to us, and it's not. And our system is actually not built for that. So the other day, I think it was yesterday or the day before, there was some of this preliminary hearings going on in Charlie Kirk's defense. The assassin's defense. So he steps up into court and he's got a public defender, which is never a great thing for somebody who's going through this. It shows that he doesn't have the money to pay for a big firm. And this is going to be a totally costly and very labor intensive thing. And the public defender said, hey, we have a huge amount of discovery coming our way, and we need every bit of time that the court is willing to give us to be able to evaluate it. Because we know that. That tells us that the people in the public sphere that are over on social media doing the citizen journalism, or they're doing their own speculation investigations, you know, I'm going to put investigations in air quotes because you're not actually able to investigate. You don't have the evidence. You don't have what the local police and the state police and the FBI were able to gather. You don't have access to all of the, the numerous interviews they did. They said they did over 200 interviews of people that were just in there from every single angle that it happened. People coming and going, people that were seeing the potential egress routes. So there's a ton of information that is not public.
Yeah, but Kyle, I've got a potato video. I've got a video of a potato flying up in the air, and this proves that there was, six assassins,
That's exactly right.
And I'm skeptical about a lot of these things with this current shooter. One, they've shown some photos of somebody was taking photos of the cops collecting evidence at this grassy area, and the gun's not even in the shot. So that to me is like, whoa, that's weird. But we don't know when those photos were being taken, if the gun had already been removed and they didn't want it to be shown. I mean, there's a lot of things you don't ever know in these situations, but people see something and they go, well, there's no gun here. That's obviously they fabricated that gun. They just invented the gun. When I think the guy's admitted that's his gun.
Yes. Well, and here's the thing. They're not allowed to put all that information out in the public. We're supposed to have due process, which means we don't try these cases on social media. We don't try them in the traditional media, and we don't try them in the court of public opinion before a jury gets to see it. And so, for better or for worse, our system is designed to be slow. You know, Trump's potential assassin who was down at the golf course, that was in the end of 2024. He was just convicted a couple days ago. And that was a pretty quick trial for a federal trial. So just consider that.
Well, he represented himself. I think he probably lost out on a bunch of legal advice.
Right. If he had competent attorneys there, it would have taken a lot longer, and they would have evaluated things. And yeah, obviously, and he tried to stab himself in the neck when the verdict was read. So not a guy who made great decisions, I would say, across the board. But when you get right down to the way our system is designed, you're not supposed to put this stuff out. And there are explicit Supreme Court decisions and case law that will actually preclude the release of some of this information. I would actually argue, and this is not going to be popular with people, and I understand why, but I think that the FBI actually made some serious missteps, and they put too much information out there, but not enough for people to quote-unquote solve the case to their own sort of, their own comfort level. Mm-hmm. And so they gave a lot more information than is generally acceptable, and they may actually have endangered the prosecution at some level. So we have to kind of have to do the Occam's razor. Yes, the government lies to us on a regular basis. Yes, they hide facts. That's a regular thing. You're dealing with the FBI, which is famously opaque. There are places where they can't share information. And when you have a live suspect or a subject that is being prosecuted. That's one of, by the way, there's no federal case that I've seen yet. I've been looking and I don't see a federal case dropping on this guy. So this is only a local or a state charge. It's a local prosecution. The FBI's role has basically been in a law enforcement assist thing. But then there's places where we've got other questions, like what happened at Butler, PA, and that subject is dead. So he has no right to privacy. He doesn't get tried in a court. So it doesn't really matter whether or not we sort of destroy his reputation. And people have tons of questions about that. And I think what folks are doing is they're taking, I have questions about one thing and they are projecting it across the entire spectrum. And I understand why. But as it's just a reminder, our system is designed to be slow and, you know, deliberately plodding and sort of inefficient for the reasons that it's supposed to be fair. It's fair-ish, I guess, as good as we're going to get on Earth. And so we probably have more than we need or what we're allowed to see. And I think we might see some defense motions that actually mention a tainted jury pool, that they're going to say that too much information was gone out there to bias the public, because people have already convicted or not convicted this guy. They've already decided that it was either Israel or something related to that, some nation state actor without any evidence, or they decided it was this guy and he should hang and there should be a public execution. And I've seen both sides of that coin, and neither one of those is the way our system is designed.
Right. And you know, I see people saying, hey, by, if you're putting information out there, you're potentially giving the defense a chance to get this guy off if he indeed did it, which
100%. Not only that, it's actually worse than that. So Rob, one of the worst things that happened is that people who were friendly with the victim injected themselves in the public sphere in the case. And that's going to be people like Dan Bongino and Cash Patel showing up on scene. The number one rule for law enforcement is if there is the, not just a conflict of interest, but the appearance of a conflict of interest, you have to recuse yourself. If you had a family member that was involved in a car accident and you were the patrol officer who pulled up on it, you would hold the scene for safety and bring in another officer so there's no impropriety, even like from the observation outside. Even if you were a totally legit and maybe you didn't even like the family member and you were going to do a fair job, you don't want the appearance of impropriety. So to jump in there is going to give the defense all kinds of reasons to say, hey, these guys are personal friends. They went out and talked about being personal friends. They went out and held press conferences saying, you know, we're going to see you in Valhalla. Why is that guy in any way, shape, or form walking the scene of the investigation? I don't care if he's the FBI director. You know, if it was a case agent, you'd have to recuse. If it was a supervisor, they'd have to recuse. The FBI director, same story. You have to recuse yourself. So they've created like actually more muddy water than necessary. And of course, people are going to be concerned and worried, and they distrust the government for various good reasons. You know, all that distrust is earned over the last, you know, half decade to a decade at the very minimum. So I understand why, but I just, it's a bad situation all around for this. And, you know, the sooner they can get to the next phase and the discovery can be done and the, you know, the prosecutions can start submitting some actual memos, or we see some federal charges, you know, we'll get some more information and a probable cause statement from the feds if they decide to do it. Then all those things will be more information that we don't have right now.
Yeah, because the feds will actually write up a whole case that'll have all their, I guess, evidence batches laid out. So it people can then follow along and go, okay, well, the feds are saying this and this and this and this. And then people will go back and then look at that and verify it with other things they're talking about. Now, just a couple of things. Candace Owens has been doing her own investigation. I'm sure you've got your opinions on that. But she did show a picture, supposedly, of the shooter at a Dairy Queen, which is, you know, around, I think, 13 minutes after the shooting happened. And then she's supposedly talked to the parents, and they said they didn't turn him in. I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff going on there. Do you have any information on that, or what are you hearing on your end?
I've seen a lot of Candace Owens videos in my feed online, and so I catch a lot of that sort of secondhand. And the evaluation that I have from looking at it is Candace Owens is not a trained investigator. This, I don't know when that timestamp is, and it's not substantiated to me. If there's somebody from Dairy Queen that has gone out and said, yes, this is from the time, this is how we got it, you know, I don't know anything about what she's claiming to say. But I've also seen her sort of have these conflicting statements where she says, nobody says the word vehicle when they're 22 years old. And then you can find that she actually clipped that out of a body cam foot, a little snip. And right after the part where she ends the clip, the guy ends up saying the word vehicle. And there's dozens of examples of her saying the same words. So there's some people that have been kind of working through the debunking. I'm a trust but verify kind of guy. I'm skeptical. I don't know what access Candace Owens has to anything. I saw that there was a text message that was allegedly from people from TPUSA, but TPUSA doesn't seem to be claiming it. So again, I don't need to make a decision, and I'm not on that jury, and I'm not actually doing an investigation. And I would argue that neither is she. She's saying things. It's really good for clicks, and it certainly has like filled up my timeline. Whereas like when I went to bed last night, it was actually probably the first time I've ever seen this. There must have been 20 Candace Owens clips, either for or against what she was saying. And I thought, man, she's got a full media blitz on this, which is great for impressions and is great for, you know, getting your awareness out there on your podcast. But at the end of the day, I don't know that it moves anything forward. And if she's wrong about everything, what happens? Is there any consequence? Not really. If there is a failed prosecution into somebody that actually did a crime, then I think you're going to have some real serious meltdowns. And for all the claims that are made, it's like, well, you can't just say something and say, just trust me, bro. That's why we don't like what the government says. They try to lean on this argument to authority, and access is not the same thing as actually having evidence.
Yeah, I think you've covered that pretty well, looking at the pros and cons of doing it, because I think, you know, we are supposed to be at the end of the day, the check and balance for the government. But we're not all trained investigators. She's definitely not, I don't think she's stupid, but she's putting out a lot of statements out there, but then not, and she's saying, hey, you guys got to say, is this true or is this not? I mean, she said the other day that, you know, Turning Point was going to bring her back. But I don't know if anybody's verifying that, and that Charlie was going to do all these things. He was cutting Israel out, all this, but you know, she shows no proof. She did show a memo that he was going to do a DOGE investigation into all the money coming in, which I thought was pretty interesting. That was like, okay, this is a memo from Turning Point. It shows that, yeah, there's a lot of money flowing in and out. And when things happen like that, money does trickle into different places. And he was probably seeing that going, wait a minute, what's going on? And so sure. I do agree with that. Alex Jones was actually just in here. He wants you to stay until 5 after. He's got some questions for you at 5 after, but let's turn the attention. You also had some updates on the, of course, another unsolved mystery in the most secure place in the United States, the Washington D.C. area, where we had a pipe bomber walking around dropping bombs, and no one seems to know who this person is. But I think we do know in our hearts, we know he's probably connected to the government in some way, shape or form.
What's funny is what was revealed yesterday or the day before with this sort of unveil. And first of all, the route is always suspicious. So I do a lot of meta coverage of the media, and one of them is who's breaking the story and why are they breaking it? So this is a story you guys are showing from Revolver News. That's Darren Beatty. He now actually works for the government. So that's kind of interesting. They're quoting Julie Kelly, who I found to be a, let's say, decidedly unreliable type. She has an agenda. She hones in on minutia without being a trained investigator, without being a paralegal or an attorney. And she kind of comments like well over her skis on a lot of stuff. And the thing that she got super excited about in that story and the big break is that they revealed the interview with the woman who found the pipe bombs on January the 6th. And the interview was after what's called the NTOC complaint or intake form. So NTOC is the National Threat Operations Center. It's the FBI's like 1-800 tip line, but you can also raise them. I think you can find them.
Yeah, we have it. I have it right in front of me. Actually, I'm looking at it right now.
So you can go there and you can submit a tip for any number of things. By the way, that's the way that almost all of our January 6th stuff came in. So when we were getting them and we got leads, what we call leads, by the hundreds of thousands, where people were making allegations against folks with absolutely no evidence whatsoever. They just had personal grievances and they were as bad as like, oh, I knew Rob, like he was in high school and he thought Ronald Reagan was cool. So he's a real a-hole and he was probably at January 6th. Like that's the kind of quality of stuff that we got written up. And so they'd be like, you should go find him. I think he lives in St. Louis or maybe Texas, you know, like stuff like that. So we would get those, and one of them was this woman who actually ended up finding the pipe bomb or the whatever, you know, the pipe bomb looking device that was out there behind the RNC. And so she supposedly found this when she was on her way back from getting her laundry. And so the big reveal that they had yesterday that was like, you know, breaking news is that she went to go drop her laundry in at noon and she came back to get her laundry at 12:40. So she estimates that the bomb was placed there during those 40 minutes.
But so now she's the investigator, the laundry maiden.
Exactly correct. And that's the right amount of skepticism to have. So the assumption would be that she was 100% alert and aware. By the way, when she described where the bomb was, she said she initially thought it was just trash and that it was some sort of garbage that had not made it into the trash can. And then she pulled back and revealed like an explosive device or looking device. And that's when it was a big deal. And she saw the number 20 on there on this like, you know, ticking counter. And so the FBI has kind of alleged that it was placed the night before, that it was a J5 plant overnight, that it was the same person that dropped both the devices. And they think they kind of know who this person was. And we've seen this, you know, a wanted poster and a $500,000 reward. And it's the white hoodie and the Nikes and the whole deal that everybody's gone down this rabbit hole and everybody got an idea who it is. But what's crazy is that people are so desperate to find something new that they're willing to look at some woman's statement And it wasn't even the statement on the day. She actually says it 2 days later. So she recorded her tip to NTalk on January the 8th. And she typed it all up because she obviously wanted to be interviewed and said, if you guys want to find me, here I am. They interviewed her a week later and she said, yeah, it had to be this because I'm so alert and so aware when I'm doing something else, when I'm taking my laundry, I know if there was a bomb there or not. And like, for me, that doesn't pass the sniff test. It's like, okay, maybe so or not, you know, like that was the big break in the story. The thing that I found most interesting is that John Solomon did a report talking about the new, releasing this and some of the actual information from the FBI regarding their evaluation at the Explosive Research Center and the stuff they did at the demo range and what they call the render safe team. And when they did the evaluation of the pipe bombs, in blatant contradiction to congressional testimony, there's nowhere in the entire report that says that these bombs were viable, which, by the way, I've been saying for 3+ years, because that's what I was briefed the week after January 6th. For folks who don't know, I used to be an FBI agent. I was actually assigned to a team that did surveillance full time. And so we had specialized training and equipment, and that's what was our task. And we actually went and sat on a person of interest a couple of days after January 6th. I don't know the exact days. And we were sitting on a house in Northern Virginia doing observations. And of course, when you do something like that, you get a brief on who are we watching and why are we watching them and what are we looking for and what kind of case is this and what are the sort of details you can share. And the details that were shared with me standing in the parking lot of a fire station was that this person had been connected to, but wasn't necessarily the person that dropped the bombs. That was part one. And part two was that those devices looked very bomb-like, but in fact were not actually capable of exploding, which is really relevant if you are an agent in the field and you want to know, hey, what's my posture? Like, do I need to have an aggressive standoff?
Alex Jones here. I really apologize. I had a family emergency right before the broadcast today. So much is coming together. There's a federal hearing in Houston at 1 p.m. where they're openly trying to shut us down for the umpteenth time. We barely survived each time. So people kind of take it as cry wolf. No, it's like, people live in a long war and survive by the blessing of God. And I was listening when I was driving back in from my home where I had to deal with an issue, you and Rob talking, but and I know you're getting into J6, but we're almost out of time. How big is it that Ray testified all those times that there weren't any FBI agents at J6, or later he didn't know of any? Now we know 274 at least plainclothes. Then you've got all the NGOs and the Antifa, and you have the men in black that look very, you know, police officers, or if you're a federal agent, you know, they like were put together than Antifa, but dressed like Antifa, breaking through the windows. Then they fake arrest some of them. Then they take the handcuffs off and high five them with the Capitol police. Mm-hmm. I mean, this thing is really unraveling. So isn't that something good Kash Patel finally did? Was he said they'll start releasing the information on J6 and I guess through Congress, or is there a lot more coming? But I think we kind of just, not you or I, but the media kind of just glazed over that huge news breaking last week.
So I read all of it. And what's interesting is it was initially touted exactly like what you just said, that there were 274 FBI agents in the crowd. They used the word plain clothes in the news releases. Same guy, by the way, John Solomon, who just got this release about J6. So this is a kind of an easy segue to it. They talked about 274 agents, but if you read into the actual text of the document that was released, they explicitly mentioned that these are mostly response, that people that were responding after the fact. Now, I have a unique experience because I actually worked for that same FBI field office on that day. I was actually in Frederick, Maryland. I was training with a bunch of state cops. I had friends that were in the Washington field office, and they have text messages that are contemporaneous to that time. There was an all call for about a third of the FBI's staff to respond to January 6th after 3 p.m., which is well after the breaches, well after the Capitol was like, you know, having people walk around in it. And I don't think that what people have presented on the left is an accurate representation. There was obviously a riot. There were obviously some people that got violent. But there was a lot of people that just were like what my buddy Steve Baker refers to as accidental tourists. They just kind of wandered around a place and they stayed within those red ropes and so on. And we saw those videos. So there's been this big, I think, misunderstanding of what the 274 is. And I'm going to ask you to use Occam's razor here, Alex, because when Kash Patel went out and tried to walk that back over the weekend, he was like, hey, what I'm saying is they were actually responding. Consider this, because you're a guy who's seen enough, you know, psyops and operations the government has pulled on the American people. Would it ever really make sense for the same agency that, let's say, incited actions on January 6th to also be the same ones who investigated it? My argument to you is that that's not reasonable. It's not very likely. I've always said that it was unlikely that the FBI was the inciting factor there and that they were the ones who actually both kicked it off and then turned around and prosecuted it. Mostly because you'd have guys like me. There's a pretty conservative workforce, especially in the agent population.
Well, let me just back you up because I've studied the real false flags like Oklahoma City and stuff. They sent senior managers from German intelligence, CIA, FBI, and ATF. I mean, senior, like deputy heads that literally I interviewed multiple credible people that worked at HUD, witnesses, police officers, you name it, the ones they didn't kill. And they saw the press conference that day after the bombing and were like, those are the men that were in the maintenance hallways and the maintenance stairways. We asked, what are you doing? Oh, we're work with the phone company. And multiple witnesses said it was gray sticks of butter and wiring. Okay, and one woman I interviewed,
which of course, yeah, sounds like plastic explosives.
Well, here's the thing: she remembered when she saw, you know, these feds were like, you know, manly men, and so she was kind of smitten by them. She said, "Oh, these men were so handsome." I talked to them a few minutes, but they didn't really want to talk. And so she was like, she admitted, she's like, I was really into a couple of these guys. So when I saw them a few days later on TV at a press conference, she's like, "Oh my God!" I mean, think about how crazy that is, Kyle. So like you just said,
it is.
They use these mercenaries, cutouts, foreign groups or senior people on these things. They don't in these agencies, folks. It's not like the average FBI agent is involved in any of this. It's compartmentalization is what you're saying.
Well, and yeah, exactly. Compartmentalization, 274 is too big of a number to be a bunch of senior guys. And the big difference between Oklahoma City and what happened on January 6th is a thing that's called the Department of Homeland Security. That didn't exist in the 90s. That is a post-9/11 construct. And I've said this since the first time that I started speaking publicly. I don't know for a fact that this is the case, but it's been always my instinct that if you were going to lean on an agency, wouldn't you lean on the agency that doesn't have any rules? And there are groups within DHS, HSI, they don't have any of the guidelines or the requirements for reporting confidential human source work and some of the other things that you have to do under the DOJ's guidelines. There are no policies that you're violating. You're actually operating in kind of a wild west. Now, generally, they don't do nearly as much as they could, but the possibility of actually exercising that authority.
It's a fertile ground of no real oversight or accountability to run internal sub-operations.
Yeah, they don't answer to the attorney general. So they're strictly speaking more of like an intel type agency. They've got a lot more free reign. And DHS is like $120, you know, billion-dollar a year department versus the FBI, which is an $11 billion. Like the size and the scope of what goes on at DHS is significant. And then the other piece is DOD assets that can be attached to certain parts of federal law enforcement or other agencies. And that always was always curious to me. My buddy Steve Baker seems to think that there were DOD assets that were insiders. So it would be much easier to have FBI agents that had their hands clean to go in and do the investigation. And obviously they were totally happy to go out and arrest
this. Well, I'll tell you who does color revolutions, and let's just say it. And that's why so many Green Berets saw it that day and before and called it, like Jeremy Brown, it's the Green Berets go stage stuff like this to other countries. Okay, that's what they do.
And specifically, Task Force Orange is one of the groups that does that, which is a tier one special mission.
No, absolutely. Do 5 more minutes with this, Kyle. I've got a few more questions. Thank you for staying with us. Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexandstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexandstore.com.
My friends know that I usually think everything's a scam from supplements and products and vitamins. I don't take anything. I usually buy it, try it, don't feel the results, end up tossing it and wasting money. So I love Alex Jones and the InfoWars crew, and Alex kept playing this video of Robert Kennedy Jr. putting some blue drops in what looked like water. And I wanted a way to support the team, so I decided to buy this methylene blue. This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am. And the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Seraphim all day. He has got an incredible batting average up at about 1,000. But when he comes on, as I was listening to the car drive back over to the office of this family emergency, and you know he's talking about, listen, it's true, the average FBI agent is not corrupt or out. They might be leftist political people and they might violate our rights, but they're not like in conspiracies. And quite frankly, they're just not that badass. And I don't mean that in a good way. Okay. No, it's the Delta Force. It's the Green Berets that do that. It was the Delta Force killed everybody at Waco. McVeigh was assigned to Delta Force. They set him up as the patsy. And it's the Green Berets that go around and stage false flags and do color revolution uprisings. That's what they're trained to do. WikiLeaks, of course, leaked some of their classified stuff. And it was at certain school levels of it, they teach him how to do that. And there's some force multipliers. You know, we want to think that our government in the past wasn't doing evil stuff. They've been training Special Army personnel and officers to do really nasty stuff for a long time. Let's just stop right there. And we're talking torture. We're talking force multipliers where you kill a kid in the village and hang him up and then, you know, blame the enemy. And the argument is we're going to save the whole village because you did this. And this is, and it's real dark side stuff that Dick Cheney talked about. Sometimes you got to operate on the dark side. But I've agreed with him the whole time. In fact, that's what I've known, and that's what Jeremy Brown and others said, is it was definitely specially selected groups out of DOD who were then compartmentalized into CIA or contractor groups that were the main ones breaking through. I don't think those were FBI agents, per se, breaking through the windows. But Kyle, you also had one other thing you wanted to hit. We're almost out of time. But I want to get you back soon on Blanche, the deputy attorney general, because now I've got it from a whole bunch of sources, not Ed Martin. He wouldn't talk about him. Other than saying, oh, I got to go out of here for a minute. You know, he's calling me. I got to talk to him. It was about, and I said, oh, how's he doing? Oh, he's great. Wouldn't say anything. But everybody else I talked to, they just say he is the bad guy. He is the one blocking everything. He is the problem. What do you have to say about him?
I don't know him personally. I hear the kind of same things that you do. I've been seeing that there's been this push right now saying, hey, he was a Democrat up until 5 seconds ago, and now he's there, and he's the DAG, and he moved over to being a judge right now, did he not? But Beau. That was the guy that took the original job. Yeah, you know, you hear all these things. Everybody wants to find out where the logjam is, because we have all these hopes of things that are going to happen. There's going to be pardons. There's a few J6ers that need to be pardoned. I'd like to see, mutual friend.
I can tell
Biggs.
You from the White House, and the DOJ and high-level people, they go, no, it's Blanche.
Yeah, and like I said, I see the same thing. I haven't heard it specifically. I see it through secondary sources. So I can't confirm this stuff, and I'm real hesitant to weigh in on it other than I read the same kind of things that are saying what you're saying.
Well, here's an example. It's
rumbling.
Blanche that ordered Ed Martin to end the investigation into the DOJ funding the attacks on me. He bragged. He goes, I ordered it and made Martin apologize. I mean, there you go. First hand.
Yeah. It's not a good feeling because everybody expected big changes. And what you end up seeing is that this is the argument I continue to make.
I just gave you firsthand though, right there.
Yeah, no, exactly right. So what I argue is that the status quo is undefeated, and I don't know who's always backing the status quo. It seems like there's always somebody that steps up right at the moment to back it. And so we get the same old thing. We get the same old, you know, that's why I love government shutdowns. They're my favorite because shut it down. Let's not pay for it. And let's see what shakes out in the wash when we go for a couple of months without that. It won't happen. They always end up caving. Everybody does because everybody thinks that we need all these institutions. But at the end of the day, I don't need any of them. And most of the time, if you'd wake, like I'm pretty sure you woke up this morning with the government shutdown, Alex, and you had the exact same experience you did the day before. You know, the lights turned on, the garbage men still showed up, your car still starts when you drive, you know, the traffic is whatever it is. It's just not all that important. And yet we have this outsized influence by the federal government, if nothing else in our minds. And then there's these small things that affect a ton of people with very, very minimal, very minimal, personnel. So you screwed up the lives of like 2,000 J6ers and they haven't all been made whole yet. And they certainly haven't had any settlements. And some of those guys, like we said, Biggs, still not pardoned. Why are these things happening? And we always
want to
find
about to put the hero cop that exposed J6 in prison. And he has
sure, of course.
All right. Great job. Talk to us again soon. It's been too long. Kyle Serafin. God bless you. Dr. Chris Martinson coming up on Charlie Kirk.
Well, I'm a 10 for a hat wearing me. Son of a gun, loving fun, loving hot-blooded Texian, two-stepping, outlaw free, one looking for a little fun.
The official Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit, 100% lifetime guarantee, high quality aluminum. Got the famous shot of me there with the aluminum hat. 50 square feet, 100% lifetime guarantee. Protect your mind from the globalist. I love the idea they had of an Alex Jones stress ball. People really love it. That's available. You know, fun little things, not just the widest selection of Patriot t-shirts and ball caps and hoodies and sweaters, but cool stuff like this. But now we have the official Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit. So get your Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. I have been called a trillion times a conspiracy theorist by the corporate media. Maybe that's an exaggeration, a billion times. I mean, you just constantly, doing thousands of articles a day. And that term was developed in 1963, early 64, was later declassified in the 70s in the Senate Frank Church committee hearing, 76, 77, 78. The CIA created that term. When you can't argue with the facts, just say, oh, they're conspiracy theorists. Well, like Elon Musk said a few years ago, we need new conspiracy theories because they all came true. Well, they were already true. But in the past, most of the public still bought into whatever official stories were. And that made it really easy for the deep state corporations, corrupt groups to get away with a lot. But now because there's so much understanding and people know what to look for, and there's so many investigators online, some credible, some not, you know, some that mean well, some that don't mean well. We all make mistakes. But there's so much focus now and so many cameras and so much metadata that it's really hard for the deep state and groups to get away with things. I mean, they get caught. So now they mainly go to provocateur operations, or they'll piggyback on somebody else that they've got wound up to do something. But 3 weeks ago today, about to come on air day one and said Israel did it, we'd had billions of views and we'd be a hero. If I would have said, oh, they got, when the one of the security guys goes under his arm and they say it's a gun, we blew it up. Looks like a cell phone. People were mad at me for, you know, people were mad at me for not coming out and saying, no, that guy's the killer. And then they had another guy behind him to an angle. They say, looks like one of those cell phone guns, and you blow it up. It looks to me like a bottle of water and he's screwing the top off. So you've got all that. But that doesn't mean I buy into the official story, and it took time to ferret through it and have my ballistics experts on and Navy SEALs and Delta Force and Green Berets, you see them every day on, none of them or their communities, so we're talking about thousands of people in the aggregate, none of them buy the official story. And then you've got what looks like a ChatGPT letter to his boyfriend, and you've got all the time code inconsistencies and then the bullet. We only learned about that a week and a half ago, two Saturdays ago, that goes, a 30-06 goes in and bounces off at 200 yards off of his spinal cord. That is basically impossible. And I've been a big game hunter. I mean, but anybody knows that. I mean, I've shot elk at 300, 400 yards with 30-06 right to the side, and it comes out
with 30-06, only time to shotgun once, three giant holes. You know, the bullet broke up, but like a 4-inch, 2-inch, 1-inch, gone. Elk falls over. Same thing with 300 Win Mag. So I know that. That's impossible, in my view, to hit somebody in the neck. Now, they said, well, it went down and then bounced back up. Well, we better get this autopsy. Was there one? Wasn't there one? They say there is. We better get, see the bullet, but how do we know? So talking to so many experts out there, our next guest information, you know, just comes up over and over again, and I've actually got his bio right over here. I had a family emergency, so I was literally like skidding into home plate here just about 15 minutes ago. And that's Chris Martinson, and he has a PhD in pathology, toxicology from Duke University, an MBA from Cornell, is a best-selling author, writer, and proprietor of Peak Prosperity website community, which is dedicated to performing rock-solid analysis and helping people become prepared for whatever is about to happen next, peakprosperity.com. And so he's been on before, highly respected, but talking to so many people I respect, they say, Dr. Chris Martinson, he has the best analysis. So I'm going to try to, as best I can, give him the floor to start wherever he wants. He's going to have control with his own video feed to show you these exhibits. But now 3 weeks in, we know a lot more. And I think we know this. Correct me if I'm wrong, doctor. We're being fed a line of bull, which then becomes a fertile ground, you know, for whatever the latest theory is. We'll try to hone in on the reality. You know, for me, and we always look at who benefits, and I think it's important to look at both, but we need to find out actually what hit him, the specifics of who really shot him. Then we can start tracking who to blame. You know, there's obviously a lot of different groups that would stand to gain. The DNC, the RNC wanted to take control of the organization. Not saying they did. Israel certainly is capable of these type of activities. Could it be a Soros group? I mean, who knows? I will let Dr. Chris Martinson give his analysis on this from every angle. So, Doc, thanks for being here with us. We really appreciate the time.
Hey, Alex, it's so great to be back with you again. I think the last time was around the Butler shooting. So this isn't my first rodeo analyzing these sorts of events. And I have to say that I think that they learned something from the Butler side, because we don't have that many videos to work with. We're working with a real paucity of information. If I could just right up front, we need more information. We need the videos from the stairwells, from the UVU cameras, from the TPUSA cameras. We need the audio from Charlie Kirk's mic. We don't have any of that. We don't have an autopsy. So what we're going on is a little thin. But what they told us, I can prove, is wrong, I think, right? And that is that a gentleman named Tyler Robinson was sitting on a roof and took a shot with a 30-06. Now, how that rifle got to the roof, we don't know. They say, oh, he must have disassembled it, stuffed the pieces, the stock, and the barrel down into his pants. But you as a shooter would know this. You would never reassemble a longbore rifle like that with a bunch of screws and think that it was going to be anything close to zeroed in when you got there. But we'll leave that aside.
Total
if
bull.
I could start.
Total bull.
Total bull. Yeah. So if I could start here, this is the tent that Charlie was sitting under. He was just under that apex right there. This is in that UVU courtyard. And it steps up those grass steps and concrete pieces. This is where they said he was on the edge of the Losi building. There's an area circled there. You maybe could sort of see a little stuff there, but when we dial in, you can see they have a bunch of evidence tags here showing where there was some imprints putatively because somebody was lying down, elbows and knees in a shooting position. But we can see here the overall angle from here down to the tent. There's a shot. There's absolutely a shot you can take there. No question about it. The problem we have with that is, and these are those indents a little closer. The problem we have with that angle of the shoot is that it just can't work out. First off, it's about a 10-degree downslope. So flat, 0 degree would be you're on flat ground, I'm on flat ground, we have a 0 degree slope. Given that angle, it's about 140 yards. I've measured it, and that's 10 degrees down. Also, not straight on Charlie, but just about 10 degrees off, just a little off. So we're coming in at what we're calling a 10 and 10. It's actually 9 degrees.
So it's not enough of an angle from higher up that could potentially ricochet off and go down into the body.
I just don't think so, because this red dot here shows this is a frame right before Charlie was shot. That's right about exactly where that hole appeared in his neck. That's the softest part of the neck right there. You don't even have a windpipe. Like, this is soft. And first off, just the 10-degree downslope, it misses every bone. It would go through and through. So from every angle we look at this, it's going to miss everything. More importantly, when we look at it from where it was way off axis over here. This would be on axis, straight up center. It was here. Would have come out between the C7 and T1 vertebrae. Would have blown straight through. There is nothing but soft tissue there. So also the 10-degree off axis, it would have to come in from about 40 or 50 degrees to hit the spine, which is what they said.
But even if it was 30 on 6 or 200 yards, hit the spine, it would vaporize it, blow the whole neck off.
It would. It absolutely would, and people have run that test over and over again, and ballistic gel, this and that. But at this angle, the 10 and 10, it doesn't hit anything. It's just soft neck, probably about 5 inches. There, you can look at hundreds of ballistic gel shots or people shooting hams. It won't matter. Nothing changes in a 30-06 in the first 6 inches. Now, I've had people tell me, hey, Chris, I was a battlefield medic. Bullets do weird things. But if we could be very clear about this, bullets do weird things at the terminal end of their trajectory. When they first come in, they have all their foot-pounds of energy. They just come slamming right in. Later, when they've bled off a lot of that energy, now they're free to sort of hit a bone or follow some muscle group or do some weird stuff. But bullets, when they're going to do weird things in bodies, they do it at the end of their trajectory, the terminal phase.
Well, sure. I mean, I don't want to sound gratuitous. I don't want to sound gratuitous, but I used to hunt a lot. And I just because of fighting globalists, I've basically quit and never hunt. Maybe once a year with my dad, we go up to a deer stand. I used to shoot hundreds of animals a year and give them to charity and everything else. But I've gone down game ranches and San Antonio and stuff, and then we donate to the homeless thing. And I mean, I've shot 15 mountain goats in a day. You know, you name it, at 300, 400, 500 yards, you know, out there driving around on 12,000 acre ranches and jeeps. So I've shot buffalo, I've shot zebras, I shot it all. And I'm just telling you, I mean, it's ridiculous. A 300 Win Mag or 30-06, you shoot a zebra, shoot a buffalo, it goes through buffalo. And the thing is, we've seen when they butcher them, and I butcher, you know, send a lot of stuff myself, but not the big animals. He's like a tractor to haul up a buffalo. But they'll show you while they're butchering at these ranches, usually these incredible Hispanic butchers are the fastest I've ever seen. They'll say, look at the bullets, you know, senor, and they'll show you. But we know it's through a neck, through even a big bone, a 30-06, 200 yards. If it only hit that one big bone, it would still go right through it. I'm sorry I'm ranting. It's just not true to say that a 30-06 could hit in the neck and bounce off a damn neck vertebrae is preposterous. Sorry, I'm ranting.
Agreed. No, totally agreed. Totally agreed. So this is a cross section here of a human neck, and at about the C7 level. So we're at the level where the bullet would have come in. It would have entered here. It would have hit the jugular, and it would have gone clean through. And this for a 30-06, it won't even think about that. It'll just pass right through. If you see this bone here, well, this is the spinal column. This is kind of a solid bone here, but these little things on the side are called tubercles. They're insignificant bones. Nothing, absolutely nothing would have happened on a 10-degree shot into this neck, except that bullet would have gone through and through. But here's the thing. We did see him go into this decorticate positioning where his right hand came up. That speaks to a midbrain injury, so we have to account for that. And I still have a conclusion, though, that a bullet did stop in Charlie's body. It just couldn't have been shot from that place where they're telling us the shot was taken from. And the reason is we have this one video where you can see here two things. I've drawn a neck line around Charlie here. I've taken two frames, lined them up exactly pixel for pixel, and I've put that same mark down here, and you can see this huge overexpansion. You can see his neck is completely swelled out. His chest is swelled out. We saw that his necklace came flying up around, so something had to throw that necklace. I posit it was that chest expansion. You did hear people very quickly talk about an exploding mic, but Alex, you know explosions. How does something explode and still be in frame? Because explosions are 20, 30,000 feet per second, right? But you can't have an explosion and have the thing still be in the frame. It just doesn't work that way.
Wouldn't it eject it the other direction from the blast? Wouldn't it shoot the other direction?
Yeah, and you know, we saw this during the pager explosions in Lebanon, right? They make a big mess. His t-shirt would have been ripped and on fire or burnt, because explosions happen with a lot of that stuff. So here we can see, this is just taking those two frames, so you're just flipping back and forth so we can watch. We'll go from one to the next, from one. This is before the shot. This is the first frame after the shot, and it's just easy to appreciate. Look how much expansion there is, how much he cavitated is the actual term for this. So it seems pretty clear to me that there was a pretty violent event. His head isn't being knocked backwards. If he was hit in the back of his spine, his whole body would have been thrown backwards, as you know, from the force of that. What happened instead was we see his whole body expand like this. So
that generally means physics. Like Kennedy shot from the front, his head goes back into the left.
Yes.
And here, so this, you're saying just the obvious body motion looks like he's being shot from where?
I'm going to have to say it's coming in at a really steep angle. It has to come in because it's landing in his body. And to get there, this is the Mitchell X. Look at this, the high speed. This is a 300 blackout. Doesn't have near the force of a 30-06, but it shows very nicely what happens, which is that cavitation event that happens when a high-speed round lands in something like this is ballistic gel meant to mirror a human body. You see that huge overexpansion. That's because the bullet's dumping all of its many hundreds, if not thousands of pounds, foot-pounds of energy into a liquid, and liquids hate to expand. So what do? They go and they create, this is called a cavitation bubble. Boom. Now, you need to, this is about a 1/1000th of a second thing, so you have to have very high-speed photography. I think it was completely fortuitous that we had a single frame that caught at least part of that process, but it's very clear we can see that expansion in his neck.
And so what do you make of the surgeon then saying, I mean, we don't, the surgeon's, I don't think he's like in on it. So he says, oh, 30-06, he's doing the official story. It goes in, bounces off the vertebra, goes down through the vertebra, and then bounces back up. So he's just trying to comport the official story into what he saw, but then where, I mean, I know you're going through the evidence, but where does this all point?
So because of that cavitation of a high-speed rifle round, best guess it was a rifle round, went into his body. And so now we have to account for some shooting physics, some angles that could actually make that happen. The only way that can happen is if he's shot here in the neck, it has to come in from a much steeper angle. And
sure, you just proven that wouldn't be from the roof. That's like a 10 degree. And so that would fit with what the surgeon said. But then now where could someone shoot him at that angle? And then if it came in here and then, well then why didn't the surgeon say there was another bullet hole?
If there's another bullet hole, I haven't heard that yet. All I've heard about the surgeon is hearsay. I think that was Colvett who said that. So I haven't heard anything directly. I haven't seen an autopsy report. I don't believe anybody has.
No, that's a good point. We're all operating off of what the spokesman, who literally when I responded to him 10 minutes after he posted his thing two Saturdays ago, saying, oh, he's a man of steel. It just went in and went, you know. And he goes, I don't want to get too graphic here because I don't upset people. He literally calls me 45 minutes after I did a post saying, I don't buy this. He was very nice. And then, quote, gave me more of what the surgeon said. But I totally agree with you, Dr. Martinson. We need to get... Well, what have you heard about the autopsy? We hear the dispatcher saying no autopsy when she comes to get the body. But now we're hearing from TPUSA there will be one later in October.
Well, the dispatcher might have been saying they're not going to do the autopsy at the hospital. That's entirely possible. They were just trying to communicate that they were going to transport the body.
But you got to sign a death certificate. Yeah, but he signed the death certificate, though.
Yeah. So, listen, that part's really shaky. I don't have a lot to go on there. But I can almost definitively at this point rule out being shot from the front. Because there's zero chance. You know this. Help your listeners figure this out. A bullet doesn't just magically start going different directions because it enters a body. With that first bullet, assuming it's a relatively standard 30-06 hunting round, which it probably was, if that's what it was, it's carrying about 2,200 foot-pounds of energy. That means if I had a 2,200-pound block and I dropped it from a foot, clunk, that's a ton, right? That's how much power this has. So bullets do not do goofy things when they have all of their
folks that
initial
don't know,
energy.
Well, smaller calibers like 5.56 can turn quicker and start tumbling once they hit bone. But with 30-06 and bigger calibers like that are magnum rounds, it usually, if you're not at 1,000 yards, it's still going super fast. But at 200, it's at maximum speed, 2,500, 2,800. When they go in, it goes through big bones. And then starts to break up later, but usually you'll hit a big bone And it'll still only expand, you know, maybe to an inch or so. Then it starts breaking up after it's expended its energy. But still, there's such that cavity you're talking about, such a blast force that it just blows right through. I mean, I'm talking about through Buffalo, through you name it. So this is one of the most powerful, you know, rounds when you start getting into that super magnum, scale. And I just, all the hunters, everybody knows this is just horse crap. It is absolutely, I mean, again, anybody knows, you shoot somebody 200 yards with standard round, standard load, 30-06. If you hit them right perfectly in the vertebrae, the thickest part, you've got that tiny hole in the front, and a 30-06 is so high powered, it wouldn't even have time to open up. So I would imagine a inch and a half, 2-inch hole in the back, because the bullet's going to come out in a mushroom, but not broken up yet. I mean, I'm telling you, I don't think it would even begin to break up shooting through a neck. It's just, it's total BS.
Yeah, and of course, we haven't seen any pictures of the remaining two cartridges in the putative gun that they found wrapped in a towel conveniently nearby. If we could see those, now we could start making some more guesses and more informed decisions about things. If it was full metal jacket, like if he had standard like ball rounds that the military use, I personally, with an M1 Garand, have holes right through 14-inch pine trees using ball ammo.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That trees don't even stop that.
Oh, it would go through
that.
Even more. I mean, if people don't understand, they're like, well, maybe it was ball ammo. No, the ball ammo penetrates even further and stronger and doesn't break up.
Right. Nope, goes straight on through. 14-inch trees, personal knowledge, but you can see videos of that, too. Penetration is extraordinary on the ball ammo. So how do we account for that cavitation? A bullet obviously struck him. He was dead almost instantly because he went into that decorticate posturing, that pugilist pose, within 5 frames. That's like a tenth of a second. He's just like, he's out, lights out.
So that fits with the surgeon's story that it took out a spine.
If it did, it had to take out the spine below the thoracic one level, because if it took out the spine above that, in his neck anywhere, he's now flaccid. There would be no muscle tone because those nerves would be destroyed. So that's out. So
that's what the surgeon was saying, is according to TPSCA, was he even listed all the, he said it went down far in the vertebra.
Well, that tells us that's great. So we have a wound channel now somewhere from here, has to be able to hit somewhere in a way down here. And that gives us an angle. So he was shot from the left. At a very high angle, cannot have been shot from the position they told us he was shot from. Full stop.
Well, that's what I said. I'm literally was going to pick up my daughter from my parents' house, and I shot the video in the car while she was waiting, and I just instantly saw what he said, and I said, well, there's no way it came at a 10 degree or whatever angle and did that. And so then they call and go, oh, no. And he goes, I don't want you to say this. I said, well, I have to. I wasn't writing notes, but he described all the vertebrae. They said it came in, glanced down, because it was at an angle. And then he said, went through, he listed like 5 or 6 vertebrae. And then he said, exploded into the heart and then bounced back up into the neck. And that's where, but then is that a piece of the bullet? And so, again, that's what I was told. I really think they need to sign a TUTMA agreement, not a TUTMA, a medical release form. And I think they I think we should see this surgeon come out and speak, don't you?
Well, HIPAA. Absolutely. And we need to see the x-rays because, look, come on, Alex. It's like that magic bullet in the Kennedy thing, right? This bullet allegedly goes through Kennedy's neck, tumbles around, smashes Connolly's thigh, and then is found on the gurney, completely unmolested, as a whole unit. That's just not how these things work. So if this was a hunting round of some kind, wasn't ball ammo, well, it's going to be in fragments if it did that much damage to the spine. It's going to be leaving pieces. Now, maybe they found a big chunk of it and they're calling that the bullet, but if they find an intact bullet that magically went all the way tumbling through his body and bounced back up and isn't destroyed, I'm going to be very suspicious. I think you would, too. It just doesn't make any sense. But a lot of things in this story just don't make sense. And I've been hearing from people that, you know, they think they have video evidence, but nobody seems to be interested in it. You know, it's just like the FBI washing down the hose, the roof of that thing in Butler the next day. It's just, there's things here that you wouldn't do during a normal course of an active investigation unless you were absolutely positive you had the perp and there was nothing more to be learned. But
all right, Chris Martinson, I know you don't like to, Dr. Chris Martinson, I don't like to speculate, but just in general, all the theories that have been disproven, some that haven't, this atmosphere, and why all the military community I know do not buy the official story. And the smartest guys I talk to, none of them say they know what happened, but they all agree with what you're saying, that he was shot down. He was not shot from the angle they claim on that roof. We'll be right back.
Chase. Good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there with triple action, taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone that is the precursor to glutathione, and just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I've personally bought them for and, given them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com for 50% off. Our medical-grade USP Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a one-month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your Ultramethylene Blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Sambucus is available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, Sambucus is a fancy word for elderberry. This elderberry concoction is mixed with vitamin C and zinc. It's gummies. They're absolutely delicious. I take 2 of them every single day as prescribed by the directions on the bottle. Helps with things like healthy stress levels, antioxidant immune support. It promotes respiratory health, seasonal support, and it's GMO and gluten-free. Now, not only with Ultimate Sambucus gummies are you getting a delicious way to fight for your immune system, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that Alex Jones is under relentless attack. We know that InfoWars and this crew are under relentless attack as well. And it's not just us they're coming after. Frankly, it's you. They want to silence you. They want to kill your health. They want to kill your mind. And they want to subjugate you under a new world order government. And so as far as I'm concerned, by going to thealexjonesstore.com and getting Ultimate Sambucus gummies, you are not only fighting for your health, but you're fighting against the new world order in the most effective way possible. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Most people wanted to say who has a motive, who killed him. And the official story was it was Trantifa. And they've been out killing a lot of people. And the left was calling for Charlie's death. They celebrated his death. And we just had weeks before that, on record, one of these demons shooting up the Catholic children's mass.
in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So I was like, okay. I mean, I don't want to believe that this government is as corrupt and crazy as the ones we've had in the past. You know, the same group that tried to kill Trump and Butler. We know there were two shooters there. We got an expert on about that right now. I was like, I mean, I certainly didn't see it as the Trump administration. And then to say Israel, just because he was having a fracas with them. And I mean, is Israel capable of that? Is Netanyahu? I think so. But I just can't say, not only do we not know the truth of what happened, but we know who did it and who's behind it. That's just not how you investigate. We're actually trying to be credible here, despite what the corporate, you know, media has tried to say about us in the past. I tell you, though, there's such a loss of faith in the government and the media, period, that no one I know, not just all the military experts, the ballistics experts, buys any of this. And I think it was healthy to question and look at it all. But I think we now have more questions than answers. But I think it's clear what Dr. Chris Martinson is saying here from peakprosperity.com, with all his, you know, great background in pathology and toxicology from Duke University and Cornell, that the official story is obviously not true, that he was shot from the roof. So then we have to ask, well, what's going to happen with this trial? And where's all that going? And then you have the weird ChatGPT basic confession that hits every point if you wanted to convict him. And we're wanting to write a bulletproof, pun intended, conviction letter. So moving out from your scientist hat and then get back into the science, I'll give you the floor here. Just if you're sitting there talking to your wife and she's asking, what do you really think happened, honey? What do you tell her?
That not only was he not shot from the position we were told, he was shot from a different position. I know that there's been an absolute lack of interest in that, apparent lack of interest in that from the official investigating authorities. We also know that this is sort of just a flavor of what happens, but somebody has been flooding the zone with crackpot ideas. Now, you opened earlier and you said exactly the right thing. Listen, we're all free to speculate. We get some things right. It's fast moving. That's all fine. But what I saw were some really bad ideas that just suddenly got really put forward and got put out there. And when you chase them down, it's a little bit dodgy. It looks more like a professional thing, like somebody with real agency and authority is interested in poisoning the well, right? They just flood the zone with bad ideas. So did you hear that the gun was disassembled? Did you hear that?
Yes, of course.
I did too, and I tried to chase down where did I get that from. And it came from this guy, gun expert Steve Wolf, on News Nation on September 12th. So
with some
he says,
in a magazine. How quickly, if it is broken down, because it doesn't look like he's jumping with a long rifle tucked in his leg. It looks like it's got to be in that backpack. So how quickly could he break it down if he needed to break it down?
A second or two.
What?
Literally just push a button and wrap it around, push another button, wrap it back. They're designed to be able to be put into full length mode or compact mode.
You saw the same. If there's another picture of another gun, please let me know. But this is the picture that was released. New York Post said that this is a crime scene photo. It's in an evidence box. There's no takedown kit on this. You know, it's got a synthetic stock on there, but there's no button you can press. There's no easy way to disassemble this. So how is it that they got this guy on TV? And who is he anyway? Well, it turns out he's a Hollywood guy. He works for movies, TV shows, the firm, the client, ABC, NBC, PBS. So this guy starts this rumor that this thing is very easily disassembled, takes a second. And, you know, when I consult my actual experts like Mr. Guns and Gear and people who know a lot more about weapons than I do, and I know a bit, they say no takedown kit. It just doesn't exist. But that's part of the mythology that got out there, and it ran with it and really polluted the story, because now we have to start questioning, did he take it apart? When did he reassemble it? Did he take it apart, put it back on the roof, disassemble it on the roof, then reassemble it to put it in the bushes? That story is a hot mess. But I think I see what they're trying to do. They're trying to claim, because they don't have any images of this guy walking up onto the roof with a long gun. So now you have to count for, well, it had to be in pieces, I guess. So they want to start this idea that it's easily disassembled. But if you've ever tried to disassemble a Mauser 98 or any other long barrel sporting rifle bolt action, there's about 3-4 screws, depending on the model, you're going to have to undo. The whole trigger guard's going to come out as an assembly with the scope and the rifle assembly. The magwell's going to have this spring that's going to be popping out, all that. It takes a quality person 45, 60 seconds to just take it apart, putting it back together, a whole nother thing. But when you do that, you're not zeroed anymore, guaranteed, right? It just doesn't work out that way. So when we look at these feet, but they had to account for, you can't see a long gun in this thing. This guy jumping off the roof, which they said is our suspect. Oddly, they started that particular video at 12, 23, and 34 seconds, which is after, a few seconds after the shot. So why didn't they show us the video of the guy getting on the roof? Why don't they show us the video of the time the guy allegedly took the shot and running across the roof? Nope, they cut it right after the action started, and they've given us zero videos of this guy walking up the stairwell onto the roof. A couple of grainy potato cam stills, and that's where we're at. So this feels like an intentional attempt to deceive at this point in time. And by the way, we've seen a huge amount of deception going on out there with these, hey, listen, we come up with some ideas that don't pan out, but the worst ones that just don't comport with physics, those get a lot of traction somehow. Somebody's buying views on those and making sure that they go far. And as soon as I see that, Alex, I'm pretty sure we're dealing with it's just not individual.
Yeah, somebody's flooding the zone with disinfo. Well, what about, again, I'm not in defense of Israel. I'm a big critic of Israel, but I'm also a supporter of truth. I'm not saying Israel couldn't have a motive or couldn't be involved. I'm saying, how do you instantly say so many influencers, we know it's Israel, it's them, within 12 hours? And then I'm like, well, we got to investigate. Oh, you're a traitor. You're on the payroll too. And then I'm like, no, I'm not. I mean, we like you said, they got better since Butler. And I would guess past behavior of this climate is going to be the future action. I would say the main suspects, whoever they are, is whoever tried to kill Trump and Butler. We know there were two shooters. You're an expert on that. Maybe you should just remind people about the few of the key points there.
Yeah. Give me 1 second. I'm just going to find. So in the Trump shooting, we actually, and I just have to find a slide.
Take your time,
quickly.
Sir. In fact, I keep interrupting. We're 16 minutes to break. You're hosting. You take over.
Okay. So here's what we had in the Butler shooting. So we had all these cameras to work with. And so I had 7 high quality sources that I used, including Trump's own mic, which is the ultimate source because it was right at the point where you could get what's called the snick boom. A gun, a rifle that's shooting a supersonic round, the bullet, supersonic, it's traveling faster than sound. So the bullet arrives before the report from the gun. And when it does, it has a little sonic boom, like a plane that's going too fast, faster than Mach 1, will have a sonic boom. It's lightning. Boom. You get the sonic boom. So we had these beautiful sonograms here that we could begin to line up and learn a lot of things about what happened. And here we sort of see the snick and then the boom and the snick and the boom. And so we were able to start unraveling the whole Trump-Butler shooting very, very quickly. The key thing, the reason that I know that we have two shooters is that we had this camera that was on the west side of that AGR building, the American Glass Research Building. It's over on the side. If you were facing it from Trump's direction, the left side, the west side. And there was somebody over there filming, and they caught these first 3 shots here. You see that this is the shot itself. These are explosions. And then this is an echo. And this is an explosion, and this little thing is an echo. So one of the things you can't do if you're a single shooter is change the geometry of the echoes that are going to result. This camera is sitting in one spot, and all of a sudden we see that those next 5 come off. So it was 1, 2, 3. This first shot was the one that nicked Trump's ear. We had 2 and 3. These are the ones actually that ended up hurting Copenhaver and David Dutch behind Trump. And then we have these next string of 5, just like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And this is the last one, which was the one that killed the kid. But look at these echoes. These are 0.17 seconds apart. These are 0.08, give or take. Okay, so I can tell you for a fact that this gun that took these 3 shots was echoing off of different surfaces than these. If the FBI was, you know, wanted to run a quality investigation and say, oh, we can explain that, they would have to run a test, go back there in July when the same leaves are up, make sure there aren't any new structures, put the stand back up, have some equipment. You know, they should have done these tests, honestly, the day after. And then you fire 3 shots, and then maybe, I don't know, let's hypothesize, maybe the gun barrel was over the ridgeline, and now it's behind the ridgeline, and that changes things. But they would have to recreate this to say, here's how you could get this signature with one lone crazed kid, you know, shooting from a single position. But beyond that, you can't. So this, you know, we put this out there, and this should have been picked up everywhere. And I had zero calls from the FBI, zero calls from any investigators. Nobody was interested. So that tells you something right there. At a minimum, they would have to explain how the echoes changed, because those are the hardest things to change in a shooting scenario. Okay, so, well, with that, I can just guarantee you that what we saw in Butler has not been resolved. It clearly points to two shooters, and that's what the data we have has. And we've had this data for, you know, well over a year now, and just been sitting on it here, and we put
and
it out
to be
the
clear,
world.
Dr. But, Chris Martinson, I totally respect you, and you're amazing, and I've been really wanting to get you on. They're having a federal court hearing right now with all the battles to shut us down that will finally decide this. And so they're in there in their control room listening to it. So I'm listening to you in one ear and running in there. And just for listeners to know, I'll cover this more next hour, but he has lifted the stay, and unless he does some other maneuver, they're going to come in here with sheriff's deputies as early as tomorrow and shut down InfoWars. So all of you out there, oh, it's fake. He survived so much whatever. I just hope you remember that, because this is how hard this fight has been. I hope you pray for InfoWars right now. It's been hell, but they want us off the air so we can't have real discussions. The Democrats are in the news saying we want him off the air. It isn't about money. They've refused settlements. They want us off the air. So sorry, I was listening to you, sir, and I'm sorry to have, when I said you're hosting, though, you're hosting. Go ahead, please continue.
Well, I'm very sorry to hear that, because, of course, you've had to put up with so much around this. And I see it as all part of that one thing, which is we're in the fight for our lives. We have this deep state. It's unaccountable. It just does whatever it wants. It operates extrajudicially. It doesn't even care that it throws out really crazy ideas that we're supposed to absorb, like, you know, buildings just fall at free fall speed, you know, for no good reason. Just trust us, bro. Right. So this all feels like it fits into that. I think that we absolutely deserve. Charlie deserves. Charlie was the most potent political figure of our times, in the sense that he was going out to college campuses and speaking directly to the kids.
He's literally an evangelist who'd already had an effect that definitely made Trump win both times, but was accelerating more powerful. And he was gaining momentum, and he was an evangelist for the return of the Republic. That's absolutely why I see the Democrats, that clearly the deep state, and some Republicans have tried to kill Trump and Butler, I see them as the prime suspect. Now, they're in discords. They use, you know, this guy's a piggyback, or, you know, we know he was connected to this, program at college that was a feeder group to intelligence. But regardless, to me, and I know you're a scientist, you don't like to speculate, but just as an opinion, I think it's the Democrat globalist neocon deep state that has the most motive. But at the same time, I mean, I could see it being any other group, but I think it is really clear that what we're being told is a lie. And then by extension, who has the power to cover this up, and who's doing that? And I was told 2 weeks ago by folks that were in the White House meetings, and then I confirmed it with a very well-known journalist who also was told the same thing, who was not in the meeting, but was told by the same people, that, Trump was like, I want to find out who did it. It's the trans people. Get them all. And then in a breakaway meeting, they're like, nope. We're not saying he has accomplices. We're moving forward. So why haven't the six people that posted days before, he'll be dead tomorrow, he'll be dead in 2 days. Oh, see, we told you he'd be dead tomorrow and, you know, the next day. Where are their hard drives? Why haven't they been SWAT teamed? Where are their phones? So they're not even willing to look at the surrounding support leftist group in the official story. So that, to me, is another really big red flag.
Well, and if you have to contrast that with, of course, the overbearingness of the J6, you know, 5,000 FBI agents going out and busting down doors and everything, because that was just so horrible that people walked between velvet ropes. You can clearly interpret something by the muscularity of the investigation. It was 4 days after the shooting that already they were tearing up the grass and, you know, repaving the whole crime scene, you know, as if that's what you do in these situations. Charlie Kirk's murder was the most significant political murder since MLK, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
And it deserves the most intense, rigorous, absolutely, in a no stone unturned kind of an investigation, and we're not getting that. You're right. Where are these other six furries that should be, you know, getting absolutely, you know, in cuffs and being talked to?
Yeah, they said he'll be dead tomorrow. You just watch next day. Yay, he's dead. I told you. I mean, that is total probable cause for a warrant. We all knew this an hour after he was dead. These people were bragging, and then it was confirmed. They should have been SWAT team bare minimum the next morning.
Yep. Well, I do think that Charlie Kirk's murder was not done by Tyler Robinson. I actually think that his lawyers are going to have a relatively easy time creating what we would call reasonable doubt, right? You know, if we look at these pictures of him coming up the stairwell, which are these two pictures down here against his booking photos, anything we can see this guy has a smooth upper ear. This guy, I don't know, I can't really tell because it's a potato cam, but it looks like a fold across the upper ear that we can see. I'm not even sure this is him, but we were told it was him. We were told it was him. And we were told that, oh, this must be him because he has the same sort of sunglasses, but the hat doesn't match anymore. And the sunglasses may be a match. There were cameras everywhere on that, up the stairwells,
yeah,
around
even
the
if it's him,
center.
He could have been part of a drill or something. That's classic. Could have been. Been part of something else or say, and they just use him as the patsy.
Yep. And here these are the allegedly the photos taken of somebody who's going up to get on the roof of the Losi building. But I can tell you there's no gun down that pant leg. Right.
Yeah. And, for those who don't know, and again, I'm not a registered super marksman, you know, Delta Force person, but I've shot a lot of deer rivers, a lot of Mausers, and anybody knows you're going hunting, you bump them around too much, you're shooting at 560 yards, it's going to be off, even with the best scopes and things. You know, you put it in a soft case, you do all that, and if you disassemble one for long range shooting, you can be guaranteed when you put it back together that it's going to be shooting, you know, a half foot off if you're lucky. So absolutely, he doesn't assemble that on a roof and then shoot him in the throat at 200 yards. It's horse crap.
No, it just doesn't happen, and there's no way it disassembled and broke down to fit in here. So where's the gun? I think it's incumbent on the investigators to say, okay, you know, here's the gun.
By the way, that's a key point. Even disassembled, the barrel is probably 6-7 inches longer than that backpack. Put that back up. That's a good point. There's no way the barrel, you don't disassemble that, folks. It's one piece. There's no way that fits in there. That is, my gosh, if he actually had that in there, it would be sticking out. That's a pretty long, you'd have 8 inches, 6-7 inches. I mean,
close to a foot because if you look back up at the rifle, that is, when you do break down a Mauser, the action comes off that all metal, the whole metal. It's not just the barrel. You don't unscrew the barrel. That everything from the scope would stay mounted onto that. The entire action. When you break down a Mauser like this, you would remove the bolt. You have to do all these screws, the trigger guard, trigger, all that action comes out at the top. And that would be it sticking out of this at least 8 inches, maybe a foot.
And like you said, everybody can focus on camera guns and microphone guns and the guy, the security guard shooting him under the arm, clearly a cell phone. He goes like that, like everybody does. Ooh, there's a boom. But that then makes you ignore the stuff we know is impossible. The shot at a 10 degree angle, not going through, impossible with that round. Obviously, yes, you cannot have even a disassembled one in that backpack. All those things we know, it's not true.
So I've done a lot of defensive pistol training, and so, of course, there's this old joke they tell you, which is, what does somebody do after you shoot them with a pistol? And the answer is whatever they were doing before you shot them, because pistols are not really good at stopping. They don't have the stopping power, not like a rifle does, right? And so unless you hit the brain box directly with a pistol round, you know, now you have just, you've hit them and they're bleeding. Well, it takes a while for fluid to leak out enough to stop somebody from doing what they're doing. Charlie was immediately incapacitated, and also that overpressure event that we now can see from two angles.
All of it says high-powered rifle. It's just the trajectory doesn't
high-powered.
Work. Yeah.
Right, so now we can get rid of phone guns and palm guns and, you know, little camera guns and exploding mics, or maybe there was a bullet in the mic, you know, all of that. That was just flooding the zone.
I was about to say, folks, I bought, just for fun, those $200 little joke pen guns and little Derringers and stuff. Them just because they're dangerous. You shouldn't get them, folks. You're going to give a death wish. I don't know why I did it when I was younger, just because they were interesting. They're super, not just inaccurate. A lot of times they don't even work. But the point is they don't have any penetration power, even though they're a weak round. It's even weaker. Absolutely. You don't get the, you know, off of any of that. It's just horse crap. Again, I keep saying that word because it's just not true. The real word's bullshit.
Yep. And as well, I saw a lot of attempts that, again, were they astroturfed or was it flooding the zone, trying to convince me that he had been shot from the right. And everything I have says he was shot from the left. So classic misdirection. Of course, there was a lot of effort put up to see if we could get him shot from the right. Now, what's interesting is on my YouTube channel, I put this video up and it got a strike right away. The first one I put up, and I have somebody behind the scenes who's able to sort of resolve those. But I was getting strike after strike on there, and they were burning up all of their, they have some credits that they're able to sort of deal with the situation. But That was happening, and all I was doing
Which means, you know, in live time when someone's sitting on top of you, that's an agency, that's a big group.
Yep. Whereas if I had gone out, like I saw tons of videos on YouTube where they had, oh, exploding mics, shot from the right. They were carrying that stuff, no strikes, millions of views. So somebody was actively working to amplify what I consider to be wrong theories. And again, that's somebody with power. You decide, you know, from there, I kind of lose the trail. It's kind of like with 9/11, like who had the power to authorize all the metal being melted down before it could be analyzed, right?
It's fog of war. I mean, you bring up Building 7. We had Barry Jennings on, and then he died 2 weeks later, and the neighbor said, no, it was witness protection program. All these trucks came, the family left. But he was deputy head of emergency management. He said, no, they had bombs. They told us they blew up 7. Well, they said on the news they blew it up. It's not just it falls in free fall. You see squibs. They got it wrong on BBC, two channels, CNN, 25 and 45 minutes before, and said we blew it up. I heard it on CBS radio. I'd taken a break when I was on air to get a pizza down the road. I've been on since early in the morning. And I'm listening back to me. They saw it CBS radio on 590 KLBJ. So I'm literally eating pizza, driving back to my studio, you know, gobbling. And they're like, the Solomon Brother building, 47 story. They're going to control demolitions. So it doesn't hurt other buildings. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. And they go, and they're like, yes, they're about to bring it down. So they jumped the gun and put that out. And then when I told people, they go, yeah, we remember that. But back then the internet wasn't archived. It was like 5 years later, suddenly NBC put their archives out and was like, they didn't think to cover that up. There is all them saying they blew it up. And then Larry Silverstein said, yeah, we made the decision to blow it up. But then we're supposed to never remember that or talk about that.
And that's, of course, they wanted us to believe nonsense, which is violating the laws of physics, which I can't do. I default to the laws of physics. Physics is unbeaten, you know, when you get right down to it. So if you were standing on the corner of that Building 7 at the exact moment it started to let go and you dropped a bowling ball into the air, you would have tracked that bowling ball for 2.25 seconds at the same speed. That's what we're talking about here. So in order for that to happen, somehow 80,000 tons of structural steel has to have zero resistance. Okay, that's not a fire. It's not a progressive collapse.
Only a professional demolition. A lot of times, professional companies do it, and it doesn't fall right away. I mean, this was a professional demolition.
Right, but nobody wired that up in the minutes after the other two towers were hit and came down. That means the reason they can't go forward with that is obviously we have to understand that that building was wired before 9/11. Well, what was that? Guys with box cutters from Saudi Arabia? Sorry, not a chance.
And what was in the building? The main FBI headquarters for records, not in D.C., it was there, and the CIA headquarters, the second largest CIA base in the U.S., and the word was, because the Pentagon missing money, they put it all together to get rid of the records as well.
And the SEC records, including all of Enron's records.
That's right.
All of that. Yep. So now you say, okay, you get into speculation territory, but obviously you can clearly conclude this wasn't the NYPD. It had to be somebody a little higher up the food chain.
And by the way, we have NYPD, who I saw on PBS, who I got on. And we tracked them down. They said, no, they were using the Red Cross channel. We don't mean the average Red Cross people. Red Cross has always been intelligence at the top. They had a countdown, and there's cops like, get back, it's about to bring down, 10 seconds, 9, 8. You don't hear the countdown, but the cops say, hey, 5 seconds, get back. And it, boom, falls. And we went and tracked down the cops and firemen, and they're like, yeah, no, they told us they're going to blow it up. They put it on a countdown over the Red Cross radios. Can you do a little bit more time on this, doctor?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, we'll be back in 2 minutes, thanks.
Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
It's almost poetic, the products that we sell, because yes, they are the best. Yes, it is the best price for the highest quality. Yes, they are third-party tested. It's almost poetic because as we advocate for humanity, what we sell to you is that which makes you or allows you to make yourself a better version of yourself. Whether it's getting the methylene blue, which helps you with focus and energy and mental clarity, or ultimate life force, which makes your body healthier in so many ways I don't have the time to explain to you, whether it's the Shilajit that gives you incredible vitality, or the ultimate burn, which ensures that your metabolism is optimal, or the optimal human, which is everything the body needs. You see, we're fighting for your mind, your body, and your soul, not just with the products that we sell, but with the message of this network. We have to have the truth. We have to have freedom of speech. We have to have our rights, because folks, we're about ready to go into an artificial intelligence war, into a space war, the likes of which humanity couldn't even dream of, even in science fiction. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now, not just for your mind and your body, but for your species.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Seven so much that it just becomes second nature to me. But now that it's so hot and so big, and you know, thank God Tucker's put it out there, made it central, and even the Young Turks are like, gosh, Building 7 looks like they did blow it up. They're just talking about the free fall and the physics, which, of course, to scientists is the total proof, because it is. We have the emergency deputy head of emergency management saying they told him that they blew it up. We had him on the news saying they blew it up. We have the police saying, get back. And the media spun it. Jones says the police blew it up. No, the police are told they're blowing it up. Get back. When we actually went to New York, these people contacted us. I interviewed the firemen and all of them. And, you know, the dust was so deadly. About the last few years, I'm like, hey, get that fireman back on. Get that police officer. And you know what happens? The one Leanne McAdoo interviewed, the ones interviewed, they're all dead. Something like 20,000 of the people in and around the building have died now of cancers and stuff. So we got to dig up all those interviews and repost them, because like the Leanne McAdoo interview with the black fire captain that was there from the start and for like weeks, he died from the dust. And he's just explaining it all, how they said they blew it up and how they did it all. I mean, and people go, oh, you're saying that? No, they didn't blow it up. They told us they blew it up. They were the people telling us. Sorry, I'm ranting. Dr. Chris Martinson, and some stations don't carry this first five. I want to keep you about 10, 15 minutes, you know, after this break in about 3 or 4 minutes, but just putting bookends on Building 7 as somebody that does, you know, pathology and toxicology, you know, and just studies basic science, and we've had so many engineers on about this as well, it just boggles the mind that they think we're so stupid. But I guess the good news is people don't buy it anymore, so now they just flood the zone with garbage to try to confuse everybody.
They do, and there was so much physical evidence on 9/11 that just didn't match physics, right? They had these concrete artifacts that they found. One from, I saw in the NYPD 9/11 Memorial Museum, they had a concrete artifact from Building 6. 6, not 7, not 1, not 2, 6, next to 1. And it came from the basement, and it was fused concrete, and it was interesting because it had a gun barrel pointing out, because the ATF was housed in Building 6. So now we have to just material science physically account for heat sufficient to melt concrete and fuse it to steel. And that's about 3,400 degrees Fahrenheit for at least 30 minutes. You need an oven to do that. So how do we account for that, right? And of course, they can't, because the physical evidence doesn't match. You can't have a basement fire. There's no combination of desks and paper that's going to like give you that in a poorly oxygenated basement environment, or even a perfectly oxygenated above ground environment. Won't happen. So we have all these physical artifacts that just don't line up, and they asked us to believe in those. And the one that really caught me, I don't know if you remember this, but like it's like 6 years after 9/11, and they said they found some bone chips, human bone chips, on a building pretty far away.
Yes.
Well, think about what it takes to A, turn human bones into chips, and B, eject them over 200 feet laterally. That has to be shot out of a cannon, practically. It means those people had to be standing next to an explosion of some kind. Because guess what? Buildings don't crush people and then eject bone chips hundreds of feet through the air. It physics doesn't work that way. So everything about that day was just absolutely wrong. And the investigation, obviously wrong. Obviously, clearly, they lied to us about that. And everybody knows that now. And so what do we do with that information? Look, you're showing molten metal pouring out of a building. There is not a single combination of office fires that could cause bright orange molten metal to pour out the side of a building. Full stop. That's just basic chemistry and physics.
Incredible. I want to just come back for a few minutes and just give you the floor. Seriously, so if you pause, I'll be here and jump in because I'm so interested in all this. I kind of perseverate. But, Doctor, I'd like you to other points, what you think should be done. Obviously, we need the autopsy. They say there is one. Where is it? We need to see the bullet, fragments of the bullet. And then what else? Think about this. What else should the public be doing that's productive? Because Charlie's a great guy, a good friend of mine. He would want the truth to come out. And people, see the professionalism of TPUSA and his wife and say, that's fake. No, she was professional. That's what she did. You put on a good face in that stuff. But at the same time, I want to see them searching for truth as well, because the issues don't add up. If they try to block investigations at TPUSA, then I'm going to start getting very suspicious. Not yet, but I will be. I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it, how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at thealexjonesstore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.
Listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. It's Alex Jones.
You know, I'm accused of sensationalism and making stuff up. But if you go back over my 30-plus year history, and I've made a few mistakes here and there, I've always just wanted to have the truth. That's how I want to be treated. I don't even think about how do I twist something. To me, it's like the scientific method you can apply to anything in life. How does this really work? That's what just feels natural. It's not even natural. You just do it. It's second nature. But I have been absolutely, I'm not defending myself. This is an issue of people's brains. I've been viciously attacked by every group that has their own pet theory about this. And then we blow up the video, and it's not a camera gun. It's a bottle of water. It's not him shooting him under the arm, the security guy. It's his cell phone. He jerks back. And then I'm a traitor. You're covering up. And not only are those theories that have now been disproven, but then people just move on without any evidence of those particular theories being true, then you add Israel did it. Listen, if Israel does something wrong, like the October 7th stand down or any of this stuff, I'm on it like white on rice. But we're not going to actually get to the truth and start setting a precedent where the deep state won't pull this anymore if we let them flood the zone with disinformation, fog of war, and can't get there. So the bad guys for this broadcast and people like our guests, because have credibility with smart people. Like, I want to be tomorrow's news today. I want to be the guy that people know, he'll actually, do the research. Because let me tell you, I don't do what my listeners want, but I do listen and I do cover things that interest them. Because if you don't do that, you won't have an audience to begin with. But then I'll give my truthful perspective on it. So I'm just as obsessed on this Charlie thing as you are, and we should stay on it. But also at a certain point, if we just look at 1,000 different theories and every one we've got to accept with no evidence, that becomes a distraction from the truth and then a distraction from everything else. So Dr. Chris Martinson of peakprosperity.com, in the next 10 minutes, I'll give you the floor right now. What do you think we should do? What should we demand? Where is this going? You heard my comment about TPUSA. They want to say, because his wife was so professional, in these speeches. Well, that's what she did. That's what, I mean, that's what you do. I mean, I can tell you if somebody killed my family member and this was happening, I would get up there and give a strong speech and probably wouldn't cry, because that's something I generally do, you know, privately, but I might. But the point is, people say, oh, and I'm not attacking Nick Fuentes. I think he has reasonable, you know, he says what he thinks, but he's like, well, it's like an arranged marriage to me. Well, Charlie's talked about the story forever. And that's how this works. You get this beautiful woman with this huge resume comes in, wants to work there. And he said point blank, I want to date you. I'm not giving you a job here. Sorry. And I mean, look, she's very pretty, very smart. And this is like wife material. And I know a lot of guys that have businesses and things, and a beautiful woman comes in and they want a job, and they just say, nope, I'm not giving you the job. It has nothing to do with that. You're too beautiful. I'm smitten by you, and I'd like to take you out, blah, blah, blah. And you can say that's sexual harassment. No, it's not. He didn't hire her. And boy, she liked it. You know, it's on. I'm sure she already had a crush on him. I'm sure he was picking up on that. Now, could they have sent her in or whatever? Folks, it's so ridiculous. Let's just get it. And I think it's a good thing. Conservatives, populists, and people don't really have a good place other than church to go out on dates. And then you don't even know people's politics. One reason TPUSA is so popular for the last 10, 11 years and growing is it's actually a big singles meetup, dummies. For people that don't know, all the incels and people, I'm not saying nix that. I'm saying that they're scared of women. You know, these are women that share your values and they're looking for a man. So to say, you know, and I disagree with Nick on this. You know, oh, it's an arranged marriage with no evidence. No, that's how men and women work. This is wifey material because she's professional. She's been an actress. She's done all this. She's been in human services and helping orphans around the world. She's done this. She's a Christian, and they hit it off. That's how it works. Everybody knows most marriages, it's a crazy thing, are people that you met in business or in life or at work because it's just a different. It's a different vibe, and I know I'm ranting. I said I'd go to Dr. Chris Martinson, but I just also wanted to, you know, just say, and I get it, Nick's a virgin, and I'm not criticizing for that. He's a Catholic Christian. I'm actually proud of him doing that. For those of us that have, let's just say, growing up, we're not very chaste, I mean, I guess people could think, wow, this woman's beautiful. She's incredible. She's smart. She's amazing. You know, this must be arranged. No, when you're out, when men see a woman and you know this is the one, then it's bang. I mean, it's like hitting a gong. So I absolutely believe his story. He's told hundreds of times of how he met her, fell in love with her, married her, had children with her. And I don't think she's involved killing him. I mean, and I'm not saying Nick's saying that. That's just preposterous, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm ranting, but Dr. Chris Martinson, what should we do? Where's this going? What else should be investigated? Please continue.
Oh, thanks. And I totally appreciate that rant. Cause when I met my current wife, it was an instant gong. I know exactly that sensation, that feeling. So yeah, I'm going to put out a plea. Obviously we want all the TPUSA footage that they've got from the cameras that were right there, the microphones, but we also need some things from, I haven't found a single one of these yet. So let's imagine we're sitting in Charlie's seat and straightforward. He's shot from the left. That means we need people who are filming from the right who may have caught some roof lines or anything like that. I haven't seen a single one of those yet. And here's the theory. So we know that a bullet landed in his body. If we believe that cavitation event, we believe that he was instantly dead. He had that decorticate posturing that speaks of a violent insult. We saw that. This is graphic, but when he did bleed, you know, he's shot and it takes a couple of frames, but then you see all this blood, but you see, if you watch it carefully, it spills out. It doesn't spurt out. So if his heart was still pumping and his carotid artery was hit, that stuff's going 2-3 feet. It doesn't. I think it takes a beat because what happens is he has this huge insult. It explodes. It pushes that, blood back up into his head and then it drains out, but it's not spurting out. So that looks like a venous, dump. So we've established he's shot. So now we have to account for what are some physical geometries? Where could he have been shot from that would match what we need to see? I think the minimum angle would be about 20 degrees. So I've drawn a 20 degree line on here with my magic protractor. This comes down into his body. Why 20 degrees? Because it lands below on this angle, below that thoracic vertebrae. If it's above that, his arms aren't moving anymore, okay? So it has to be at least at this steep of an angle on a downslope. That puts it clearly down into his chest cavity. When you were talking, Alex, about how the doctor had allegedly said that it bounced down and crushed these here. That's the minimum angle that would get us here, 20 degrees. Plus, we have to be off axis a bit. 40, 45 degrees gets us to a point where we're actually hitting the spine and not just coming out to the side of the spine. So it has to be both a steeper side angle, a steeper down angle. So this sort of comports if he's shot from this other building. This is where they said the shooter was way up here, straight coming down this way. If we put somebody over here, okay. Now, was anybody there? I don't have any video evidence of that. So we would love to see anybody sitting to Charlie's right who may have been filming up this way, particularly anybody over here filming this direction. That would be highly valuable. But we have this, a couple of stills from a video that was shot from right here. Somebody was at this position to Charlie's left. And when the shot rang out, they swung their camera around a little bit and they came over here. And I want to draw your attention to cowboy hat guy in red shirt guy. Where they are pointing exactly at this position right here. When you triangulate, this red arrow shows you the direction he's pointing. He didn't point here. He's pointing here for some reason. Everybody else is screaming and running around and ducking, but this guy just stands up, hand in pocket, and goes, you know, like people will. Again, complex audio environment. Maybe we heard echoing sounds. Maybe he misheard it. You know, what witnesses can be unreliable. But both red shirt guy and cowboy hat guy seem pretty composed and they're looking right at this building. So if it was me, I'd be looking somewhere over here onto Charlie's left because I've put red shirt guy in here pointing almost exactly as I could, best I could, you know, landing it on there. It's hard because the angles are all kind of weird, but that's where he's pointing. He's pointing over on this building called the Sorensen Roof, not the Lossie building, which would have been again, straight up back here, back this way. So, I think we just, you know, to speculate a little bit, we have some evidence that he's shot from his left and above, not from straight on front, relatively speaking. And so the call is very clear. We need every possible recording at this point in time. In particular, what I need is I need people's original recordings of the shot going off with what they call the metadata. You would go into your video, you'd look at properties, because we need to know the exact second that that shot was taken. Because then we can start to line up and have an actual proper crime scene timeline. I'm a little surprised at how few recordings we have to work with at this point. There's only five that have made it out there that are of any quality. There were cameras everywhere. I have one picture. I see 30 phones up doing something. Maybe they were taking still pictures, but I'll bet a lot of them were recording. Where are those? I went on TikTok. Actually, my coworker Nick did because he has a very secure machine that's isolated from the rest of his machines because TikTok's a very grabby company. At any rate, he went in there and it was just, Alex, it was all junk. It was people doing downloads of downloads and you know, edits on top of edits. Finding the original source files, very difficult. So if we could get those, now we can begin to do some proper forensics. I didn't intend to go down this path. I put a lot into the Butler thing. I have a lot of other things I need to analyze for my Peak Prosperity tribe. But too much added up was wrong. And when I see things that are obviously physically inconsistent with reality, that's where I got to kind of dive in. So I'm all in now. And if I could get any of those recordings, particularly from people on the far side, looking up towards where this video was shot from, that would be really helpful. Any audio recordings, any video recordings, but the originals, if we could get those, we'll set up. We have a Dropbox link and I've got Proton Mail. If you have people want to get them to us, please do. You can find us at peakprosperity.com. I'm on Twitter at Chris Martinson. I use my real name, no pseudonyms here. So anything we can do to get some more source material would be helpful. But the biggest, best source material is going to be what TPUSA has and is not releasing at this point in time, alongside, obviously, the autopsy report. So that's the plea. All right. So, this and cowboy hat guy. These are the two people here. If we could find these people, this would be very helpful as well. We should talk to these folks. But anybody who's there who has an eyewitness, a point of view, if you think you heard it, something seems a little bit off, we would want to know a lot about what you have. And best guess, this area and back, it should be scoured very carefully for clues. I'm a little worried. So much time has passed. We're a couple of weeks past this at this point. So I don't know what we're going to find anymore, but that's where I would have started if I was in the business of doing this. Right there, we should be looking. That's where Red Hat cowboy hat guy and red shirt guy are pointing, and anybody who's got any videos about that, that would be fantastic. Because, as we saw,
listen, for the public, don't wait. Just go create an X account, whatever. Upload your raw footage now, and then the investigators online, all of us will get it aggregated. Get it out, people. You may think what you have isn't important. If you were there, or you have family was there, mm-hmm. upload it. That's what you're saying, Dr. Martinson.
Yep. Yep. And we need the metadata. We need that. Just go into your phone, look under properties for that particular photo or video, and just the exact, we need to know exactly when that was taken. Because if it starts at 12, you know, 20, and we know that at 12:23 in X number of seconds, the shot rang out, that's going to be contained. We'll be able to figure that out from the metadata very, very quickly. So that's what we need. And so our conclusions here are pretty simple. There's not a chance in the world that anybody's going to convince me at this point. Very high confidence. Never say never, but pretty high confidence that a 30-06 round hitting the softest part of the throat at an angle where it couldn't have intersected a bone didn't just blow straight through. It didn't suddenly turn corner and go somewhere else. If such things could happen, Alex, we would see videos of people shooting watermelons with 30-06s and the bullet would mysteriously come out the side. It doesn't do that. It just goes straight on through. And that's what bullets do. They, unless they're acted on by a
100%.
Force,
I mean, look,
they just
I'm going to say it again. 30-06 not my favorite because I don't think it's as accurate as 300 Win Mag's my favorite. And I've shot, but I've shot a dozen deer with a 30-06 when I was younger. That was the rifle my dad got me. After I was like six, he got me 243, but later 30-06 when I was like 10. And then I started shooting 300 Win Mag because my uncle had one. I love that, which is even more powerful. But the point is, I've shot.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, I've already told the story 100 times, but I mean, it goes straight through, even if it hits ribs on both sides. And it blows a 4-inch hole on the other side. And again, I've only taken a shot at a hog. I've shot one with a 30-06 straight on, a few from the side. I shot like a 400-pound hog with 30-06, and I shot at its head, but it went under, hit the neck, and the thing went in 2+ feet, bounced off ribs, bounced back up, and blew up into the shoulder, but didn't come out. We gutted it and could see how it just annihilated everything and broke up. But they had already lost power through 2 feet, then bounced back another foot up into the, or 2 feet into the shoulder, foot and a half in the shoulder. For people that don't, it's insane. This is not what they do. You see Kennedy shot with a 30-06 in the head. It goes in, blows the whole back of the head off. That's what it does. And that wasn't mm-hmm. from the bullet breaking up. That was, like you said, it's that pressure wave it creates.
Exactly. I mean, if we just dial it up a bit, imagine somebody being shot with like a tank round, right? You wouldn't expect it to bounce around and go in his shoulder and come out his toe, right? That thing is going straight through because it's a mass problem. That 30-06 round, we don't know. It could have been a very light one, 115 grains. It could have been a heavy one, 220. Let's imagine it's a standard 150 grain, 160 grain hunting round. That thing has so much power when it comes in. So you showed those two watermelons. One on the left had the 5.56. That's a very light round. It's very prone to tumbling. It's not a very stable round. They tumble all the time.
But still, so a 5.56 would have gone right, even if it hit his vertebra, it'd have gone right through, blown a 2-inch hole in the back.
Yep. But a 30-06, not a chance in the world. Magic, steels of bones of steel. It's just asking us to believe something that's frankly unbelievable. So let's just get rid of that. He was not shot from a 10-degree downslope with a 30-06, right? Unless they're going to show us he had really crazy rounds that were super special or something. But even then, that video, look at that. Boom, just annihilated that whole watermelon.
When I was 14, my dad bought me a resold Texas State Police Mini 14. And I shot a deer just as I was tired of shooting high power. I wanted to see what low power would do. And I shot 3 or 4 deer with that Mini 14. And all the times I shot him in the shoulder, twice it went through and blew about a 2-inch hole on the side. Once it didn't and did bounce around and just wrecked the insides. But again, that's a 5.56. That's not a Magnum run.
Yeah. And listen, 5.56, very, very different round, and it has a lot less energy, less than half what a 30-06 would have. And these are really powerful energies we're talking about here. This is physics, right? This is just like what we're talking about with Building 7. It's just physics. And the one thing I'm not going to do for my government or for a narrative control police state is to suspend the laws of physics whenever it's convenient for them. They are what they are. And if we can't have shared common ground of understanding where you and I can have a conversation and understand that gravity is always, you know, 9.86 meters per second squared or whatever this, the constant is, like, we have to have this shared understanding. There's not a chance in the world that a 30-06 round hits a softest part of the human body, which is the throat, in a place where it couldn't have hit any bones and doesn't just go completely, not just through that one. You could have lined up five more probably.
Oh, I agree. I was going to say earlier, it would shoot through five or six necks. So let's talk about this in closing. I call balls and strikes. Overall, love what Trump's doing, night and day compared to Democrats. But clearly the same FBI is still in place, the same ATF, the same Secret Service that covered up Butler. Trump sent investigators, Hagman and others, you know, through Posobiec. They got threatened, all of it. We know there was another shooter. You've already covered all that. Back further when Crooks failed. And they, you know, washing off the thing. And, oh, we couldn't have Secret Service up there. The slope's too high. That was the Secret Service shot. It was the cop. It was all lies. And so there was clearly a stand down. You know, they covered up, you know, the supposed, you know, Patsy's house and, you know, all wiped down, no utensils, all of it, clearly a cutout. But what this says, when we ask who's behind it, well, it's the government, not just ham-fistedly doing an investigation, but putting out a bunch of stuff that's clearly looks planted and staged and not true from minute one. So then you've got to bring the motive into the deep state within the U.S. government. And so how does that, I don't like to speculate, doctor, but now we have to at this point because we know there's a cover-up. Then why would the Trump administration, I know Trump's not in charge of that, be involved in that?
Well, we have some clues, right? So Pam Bondi's first instinct in the days immediately after the Kirk murder was to say, oh, we have to pass maybe hate speech laws. And I know the uproar, she had to dial that back, but what kind of an instinct is that? I mean, isn't that the same thing that we were just like decrying from the prior administration?
Very leftist. Look at the deputy attorney general. Killed an investigation into the deep state trying to shut us down with the DOJ on record caught secretly funding the lawsuits against me. He killed it.
So it's still operating. And, you know, we've all of us have had concerns over, you know, Cash and Dan pre getting into those roles. Very different, obviously, from Cash and Dan after getting into those roles. One of the other things I investigated, of course, when they came out and said, oh, we have this video evidence that proves that Epstein couldn't have been killed by anybody. And then they show us this like little corner of a stairwell with a missing minute. And it was just so laughable. And you have to ask yourself, well, what happens when you go to D.C.? I mean, do you have it? Like, what happened? Do they show you something really horrible or really good? What is it? I don't know. But they show you something that clearly, you know, they say Epstein killed himself. No, he didn't. The evidence is completely against that. Again, I have pathology. I've conducted autopsies. I agree with Michael
Batten. Well, the top pathologist probably in the world, definitely the U.S., he examined it all and said his neck was broken in three spots. Takes serious force to do that.
Yep, and worse, there was a ligature mark that goes straight back, 90 degrees, straight back. But if you slump off of a jail cell, you're gonna pull up, right? So the ligature mark.
Well, the shoot's not going to create a little red line. Only a garrote is.
Mm-hmm. One approximately the size of an electrical cord, based on the photos we have, right? It was very clearly obvious what happened there. And, of course, we're supposed to believe the opposite of that.
Yeah, it was a professional killing.
Yeah, it was. And, of course, we all know that there seems to be zero interest in the Trump administration following up on anything related to Epstein. So, of course, you know, we've got another clue there. But there's obviously a deep state. It's operating. It does things. And it asks us to believe the impossible all the time. And here's another one. We're supposed to believe that somebody used a 30-06 from 140 yards at a 10-degree angle, and somehow it magically went, took a 30-degree angle down into somebody's body. It didn't happen. That's fiction. It didn't happen that way. It can't have. It's just the end of that.
I've shot so many even big bones and small bones with your gut and animals. You see it. If you're coming at a 10-degree angle, even hitting a big bone at high velocity up close, it just goes right through. But if it was even barely glancing, maybe a degree, maybe it bounces a little or something. But you don't go voom. Bullets don't go voom with full power.
Never. Never. It can't. The forces, it just doesn't work physically. It's not a...
Explain
not
that. A, is it, so, is it the force is going this way. So the force is going forward. It doesn't go...
Right. So I ran the calculations. So with 2,000 foot-pounds of pressure, that's 2,000 foot-pounds traveling in a vector. That means a straight line. And it's going to do that until something influences it to go the other direction. To take a 30-degree down angle into Charlie's body, it would have needed to experience 12,000 pounds of opposing force.
Insane. His head weighs 10 pounds. 2 more minutes to put a book in on this, doctor. Thank you.
My friends know that I usually think everything's a scam, from supplements and products and vitamins. I don't take anything. I usually buy it, try it, don't feel the results, end up tossing it and wasting money. So I love Alex Jones and the InfoWars crew, and Alex kept playing this video of Robert Kennedy Jr. putting some blue drops in what looked like water. And I wanted a way to support the team, so I decided to buy this methylene blue. This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am. And the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
Unless you've been hiding under a rock, everyone knows that Shilajit is one of the most incredible super nutrients, and they don't even know how it's formed deep under the earth. It's just got incredible amino acids and natural peptides that nothing else has. And what does it do for you? Everything. Your skin, your clarity, your focus. I'm on this stuff. Your wife, your girlfriend will thank you. That's just a little side issue. Shilajit's awesome, but this is the best, purest, strongest Shilajit with a whole bunch of other badass stuff in it. We throw the kitchen sink at you because we want it to work, and it will. And it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. So get this great t-shirt design and hundreds of others, the biggest selection, at thealexjonesstore.com. Funding the Second American Revolution worldwide. God almighty.
Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there with triple action, taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone. That is the precursor to glutathione and just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I've personally bought them for and, you know, given them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com for 50% off.
Well, I'm a 10-foil hat wearing meat-eating son of a gun, loving sun, loving hot-blooded Texian, two-stepping outlaw free one, looking for a little fun.
The official Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit, 100% lifetime guarantee, high quality aluminum. Got the famous shot of me there with the aluminum hat. 50 square feet, 100% lifetime guarantee. Protect your mind from the globalist. I love the idea they had of an Alex Jones stress ball. People really love it. That's available. You know, fun little things, not just the widest selection of Patriot t-shirts and ball caps and hoodies and sweaters, but cool stuff like this. But now we have the official Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit. So get your Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Last night, a little dancer came down.
show. Here we are, 3-week anniversary of Charlie Kirk being murdered right at this time. It was during the fourth hour, and I was in there during a break getting a cup of coffee. Charlie Kirk shot, and I was doing the fourth hour. Harrison Smith was about to the war room here in 27 minutes at Infowars.com/show, band.video, everywhere else, and all of the stations across the country. And I run in here, and they were already covering it. They already had the video going. So, by the way, the federal judge just about 20 minutes ago greenlit the shutdown of Infowars. And they've got the receivership of the state. And tomorrow and the next day, the sheriff's department's coming here to close us. So thanks for standing with us over the years. Thanks for everything everybody did. Thanks for your prayers. We survived so much, people didn't take it serious. But I guess when this shuts down, you will. I've never cried wolf. All the schizophrenics online said that wasn't real, any of this stuff. This is sick. And we and our lawyers showed all the proof where they said, we don't want money, we want him silenced, and how they violated due process and our rights. And we're going to go forward and litigate against these people. We're not going to stop with the Alex Jones Network, but that's where we are. But in closing, with our guest here, we're 3 weeks in, and we're simply showing the facts, the 30-odd-6, at the angle they said from where the supposed shooter was, is impossible, absolutely an insult to logic and science. And then you got the Trump administration sitting at the center of it, and I had a White House source almost 2 weeks ago say, I really hate to tell you this, but we were in the meeting. You know, Trump wants it all investigated and all the accomplices arrested. You saw him say that. But they said in the breakaway meetings, they're like, nope, that's shut down. And that's going to come out soon as well. So I wish this wasn't the case. I think the very same groups that tried to kill Trump and failed in Butler did this. Like Dr. Chris Martinson said, they got better. And this is all a major test. Doctor, any closing comments and anything else you'd like to say or motive or where we should go? You already said where we should go from here. I totally agree on, you know, demanding all these answers, but I don't know how we do that.
Well, I'm just billing from the information you just shared, because as we've seen, anybody who's a truth teller you're under constant assault in this. So I was a COVID truth teller and I caught on and I did a lot of COVID reporting. And I'm just, this is who I am. I just share data. When the data changes, I change. It's very simple. People say, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. No, I just follow facts and logic. And sometimes that feels like conspiracy theory in this day and age, but it's very simple and I can reproduce everything and I can tell you where I got my sources. I love that interview you did with Tucker where he asked you, how did you know? And you said, well, I just read what they told me, you know, and I'm with you on that. If somebody says they're going to do something and then it happens, well, maybe they did it. You know, it's
you're talking about like Project New American Century, published 1 year before 9/11, where Dick Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Netanyahu was involved. And they say we need a Pearl Harbor event so we can do all this. And Pearl Harbor killed 3,000. This did, yeah.
Exactly. So here we are. But with COVID, you know, it as soon as you started investigating,
it's like COVID Operation Lockstep. 15 years ago, the Rockefeller Foundation, CIA say, we're going to release a virus, disease X, 6 feet apart for fear, mask, bring in a world ID, inject everybody. I mean, people said, how'd you know? Well, I mean, hell, they told us.
Well, they did. And we had Fauci say that, you know, in 2017, well, Trump's going to have to face a pandemic. And how did he know? Right. Again, so maybe we should ask a few questions. But they did this event 201 planning. They brought in all these people to talk about how you'd handle a coronavirus of all things, which we'd never had a pandemic outbreak of a coronavirus. So magically,
and that's months
they have
before
meeting.
The release.
Yes, magically. So they talk about it, but they're not bringing in anybody who's saying, how would we limit human deaths? They're like, how do we control the story? How do we get people to believe us when we have this rushed through vaccine? How do we lock up dissenters, right? And how do we control the information space? Not one thing in that entire meeting was about how do we help people get through this with the least disruption, least death. That's not how they're organized, right? So I faced strike after strike on YouTube, barely survived that, you know, just because I was talking about things like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. I'm working with frontline doctors and, you know, I'm working on a board with some of these doctors who are there at the beginning of all this because they had data for me, Alex. They had data. They said, look, we're not losing patients, right? They're having an upper respiratory problem. So let's give them some, you know, corticosteroids, maybe methylprednisolone and a little bit of supportive care. And look, they're good. And the whole world is like, oh, well, you know, we should just come back when you're blue in the lips and you can't breathe anymore. And then we'll put you on a ventilator with some remdesivir. If I get worked up and I get on my soapbox, it's because I fought that battle for 2 years straight, 3 years straight, just doing constant COVID reporting. And what I saw shocked me to my core, because I discovered it's not just that they were a little careless and doctors just sort of like put people on ventilators and remdesivir and killed them.
Whether you were in Australia, Italy, the U.S., it was all globally standardized. It was even the equivalent $53,000 bonus if you put them on a ventilator all over the world. They admit it was all a big drill of control.
Yep. And in the UK, they couldn't even wait for that. They took old people in care homes and put them on midazolam and morphine and killed them directly. And the data just
explain what
that
means. They say, don't give this to someone with a breathing problem. They literally gave them a lethal injection.
Yes, they would give them up to 60 milligrams of something called midazolam, which is a benzodiazepine. It's a huge suppressant, and it will just drop your breathing to, you know, near bottom. If that didn't kill you, they would put morphine on top of that. And that 1-2 punch for somebody who's already maybe frail in an elderly home of some kind, that'll just take you out. And we have the data that shows that COVID magically killed a lot of people in England, hardly killed anybody in Scotland, Wales, and Ireland. So those are all part of the UK. Only
and
in England
the government
did they put
ordered,
them in
as- I think it was something like 40 times the amount they'd ever ordered 6 months before, four right before. So the government put in budget for that drug months before COVID. I mean, total premeditation.
Yes. And they killed people. And so we
they
saw that.
They stockpiled
the
drug so they could kill you with a drug that turns your lungs off so they could have a high COVID number. That is cold-blooded, baby.
It is, and they did all of that so they could put this mRNA into us. And this mRNA technology, listen, at some point it might be useful, but as currently configured, right, this mRNA
doesn't come clean. It always triggers cancer. So let me ask you this, doctor. Why did they roll mRNA out at first in such a discrediting way? Very bizarre.
I don't know that because, you know, they had manufacturing process one and two. One was sort of boutique, handmade, and that's what they used in the clinical trials. Process two is this big, scaled up, messy, never before tested, you know, manufacturing process that unfortunately left a lot of what's called plasmid DNA along with the mRNA. And that DNA is a contaminant, and that contaminant got put into people in little vesicles called the LNPs, these lipid nanoparticles that then take that DNA and directly put it into your cell. And that right there is with the SV40 that they had in there, it's a guaranteed way to create cancer. Absolutely. That's going to happen. And I'm still mystified that we can't get those shots pulled off the market just on the basis of contamination alone. It's a very simple.
That's right. And as much as
argument.
I want to support Trump, yesterday they put up Trump with Albert Bourla at a worship fest, and the crew goes, it's Albert Bourla, because I was stunned. Now, of course, I know Albert Bourla, and they don't pop my ear a lot, but I'm kind of deer in the headlights. Sometimes I get a name wrong, they'll correct me. A couple times a day, they'll say, hey, it's this boss. But they're like, it's Albert Bourla. No, I was just watching them have this love fest, and I was being punched in the stomach. Mm-hmm. So I was just deer in the headlights, and it wasn't like a fake thing of me shocked on air. I was like, And you know, Kennedy was behind him giving him dirty looks, but, oh, we're going to cut your drug prices now, aren't we nice? It's like giving you a Band-Aid after you stab somebody.
It's look, the mRNA shots as rushed out were the largest and most fatal medical intervention in human history, bar none. I mean, that's
what
the
insurance
data says
actuary show
out.
30 million dead at least from them.
Something like that. Yeah. And, you know, in this country, they're still keeping two databases really far apart. Right. Did you get vaccinated? Did you die? You should just put those two things together. Database. Heck, put it in a spreadsheet. Right. Czechoslovakia did that. Japan did that and said, oh, this is a horrifying signal of death. And that's death is one outcome, but we're seeing lots of other outcomes.
The head guy leaked it and got put in prison last time I heard, because they had one.
Yep.
They had all the databases together, and it was absolutely causal. You could see it.
Yep. So it's horrifying. So again, so now we're back to this, right, which is like, what kind of people are we dealing with here? Because that's what, when I say the deep state, what I'm talking about is there's a crew of people who feel like they are entitled, if not obligated, mess around with our lives. And if that means they have to decide if we live or die, that's how it is. So those people have a name. I think G. Edward Griffin got it right a long time ago. I feel bad I didn't listen to him like 20 years ago because I thought, oh, he keeps talking about collectivists, you know. But this is who they are, and I think that's what we're up against. And I think that's in large measure what the deep state is people who think they want to have the right to impose a digital ID, tell you how far you can go, 15-minute cities, can't eat meat. If you don't stop eating meat, we'll give you a meat disease, right, which Bill Gates was just sort of crowing about. We're going to have to dim the sun. We're going to they just want to control
everything. They want to play God. Let's have you back, Dr. Chris Martinson, peakprosperity.com. We love you, and we'll have you on the Alex Jones Network after we get shut down. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Well, this is quite a moment for us here. We've held out for many, many years against the deep state and the system attacking us. And the federal judge that has been presented with all the corruption, all the fake auctions, all the fraud he's admitted that happened, just about 45 minutes ago, said, hey, you can, the stay's lifted, you can seize InfoWars. And so they don't want money. They, it's all an appeal anyways. They want to destroy it. They say in the news, we want to shut him down. That's our mission. Then they also say he won't give us money. He has hidden money, which isn't true. So it's the most deceptive garbage run by the Democrats, the DOJ previously. The current DOJ had an investigation going. Their idea, Ed Martin, it's cut and dry the documents. That got killed last week by the deputy attorney general who really runs things. And that's where we are in the year 2025. So I'm going to go to break here for a moment, and then I'm going to go on with Harrison Smith and get more details of this. But I am, it's been the fraud and the corruption and the stalking and the lies to shut us down. Obviously, it's me they want to silence and the guests and what we do here. And now the whole world is waking up, and you know, if they thought they could shut me down and shut all of you down, they fail. But it's a symbol. And the more they couldn't shut us down, the more they wanted to. And the more we survived, the more people said, oh, it's not real. Even though I'm in court and in battles and having them get all my discovery and then leaking select stuff, you know, and just all of it. And I'm in the arena fighting with everything I got. It's been a tiny percent of the listeners that have actually supported. And I'm not mad at the others that didn't, but when you stand up for us, you stand up for yourself. So all I ask for today is your prayers and that justice be done. But nobody keeps stuff in bankruptcy 3 years. Judge Lopez, a Trump appointee, has ruled 10 times in a row against them. This 11th time he did. He shut down their fake auction. He shut down. They sent in private security to shut us down. He did it on and on and on because it was illegal. He'd say, you can't do this. But now that the state courts got maneuvered in position, he said, fine, I'm Pontius Pilate. I wash my hands, and so you can do this. And they say they're going to come in and operate as us. Pretend they're me. They said they own my name. They said the 13th Amendment against slavery doesn't apply to me. They literally said that in the filing almost a year ago. You look it up. And to me, it's just, if they can get away with this, they can get away with anything. Yeah, I'll continue on. Hell, everybody's going to want me on. It's going to be a huge explosion. But it's a non-dischargeable debt. They want to harass me forever, which is fine. I mean, literally, I can just, the company I work for, can just have a company house. I just live there. I mean, I'm not even worried about that. It's just that the mass exercise of naked, organized corruption by people raising $300 million, showing the documents off my name, while they claim I made money off them, barely ever even talked about these people, to watch the Democratic Party wear the dead skin of kids from Sandy Hook and then wear my skin and say I'm this villain that's done these things. It's all a premeditated psyop, and there's $74 million against Remington, bankrupting Remington, and being used as a weapon, a straw man they built against the First Amendment and the Second. This is a spiritual battle. But the judge did rule that the stay's lifted. So last time they had their fake auction, they were here the next morning. They had the fake auction November 13th. They were here the next day. Told me get out. I wouldn't. So they killed the internet. I went to the backup studio that I don't own, funded by Bigley and the AlexJonesStore.com. And again, I don't own that. They're going to run right into brick walls on that. We have all these other sponsors. But that's why you need to go to thealexjonesstore.com and support right now. Because I don't want to just continue on with the shows we're doing now. I want to go at least 20 hours a day, 19 hours. I want to go like live 5 a.m. to midnight every day. Because we need to be covering breaking news. We need to be putting the clips out. We need to be engaged in this fight. They want us off the air because we're so effective. That's why they panicked. But I told you Comey would be the first to be indicted 6 months ago. And I told you hundreds of times. Do I get an apology? I told you this is a real fight. And how are all you going to feel when they shut us down? They said, Alex, you're just hyping this up. I've given everything I've got to this. All I need you to do is realize this is a real fight. And I'm fighting for you. So I'm fighting for myself. We all have collective freedoms. I fight for myself, but I'm fighting for you. And the minute you understand this is a war is the minute we really start winning. We have a tiny percentage of people that are engaged and committed and get this. If I could just get a few more percentage points of you to really engage by praying and spreading the word and financially supporting whoever you support, we could change the world. But I'm lucky they didn't just kill me. You know that was debated. No, don't turn him into a martyr. Shut him down. Steal his identity. Create a thing that's not him, a straw man, and use him as a fundraiser. I was blessed in their delusion that thought it worked, but it backfired. Their official story, their lies, everything they've done has only made us bigger. And that's why they're so scared right now. And that's why now I'm in maximum physical danger from the deep state. And that's okay, I'm a big boy. But as long as I'm on the field, I'm going to give you 110% output. All I need is your backing, your prayer. Please pray for InfoWars. Please pray for a miracle. And whatever you do, support the Alex Jones Network at AJN Live on X. They already tried to take the real Alex Jones on X. Elon Musk blocked that, but they're going to be back. And if you don't want to fight, that's fine. Roll over and surrender. We're winning. But those under the most attack are the ones you've got to bet on because those are the most effective people against tyranny. It's so simple. But you fundamentally have to have that sink in, that whoever's under top globalist attack is who we need to back because they're over the target. You get the flak. Here's a short promo. I'm going to come back with some closing comments, and I'll be on the War Room with Harrison Smith. These shows aren't some genre, and ooh, they're entertaining, and wow, this guy's intense. Why do you think I'm intense? I'm under total attack. I've been hunted for decades by these people. They've attacked my whole family. Our family's never been stronger because we're not wimps and we understand we're doing God's work. But I'm in a war and you better realize you are too. Do you understand that? My God, they've killed over 30 million people with the poison shots. They flood us with fentanyl. They're absolutely in every major public and most private schools with grants, secretly brainwashing your sons and daughters to think they're another sex and make them totally mentally ill and then be mutilated chemically or surgically. It is a devil cult. It's the same program worldwide. It's BlackRock. It's the New World Order. It's the transhumanist on record. They say the future's not human. They're building this nightmare world, and we're simply saying no, and we're valiantly fighting because on the other end of this, if we fail, is total enslavement and a nightmare hellscape. So just understand, you think I want to do this? You think I want to fight 18 hours a day? You think I want to do all this just so I can act tough? No, I've got to do it. Somebody walks up to me and punches me in the nose, or somebody walks up to me and it punches my kid in the head. I'm not happy about it, but I'm going to get pissed off and I'm going to go after them. It's the same thing in politics, folks. How much are you going to take? You got to get vocal. You got to get informed. You got to get engaged. You got to spend money and support the people that are at the tip of the spear. You've got to amplify all that, and you should get vocal, and you should get engaged as well. I know a lot of you are, but, man, you got to do this with urgency. You're like, oh, it sounds like work.
I don't know, man. That sounds like a lot of work.
No, you're meant to do this, and the future is so dark if you don't. But we're turning the tide. We're winning. But they're going to false flag. They're going to pull out the stops. They've already implemented the Podesta plan. Everything I told you is happening. But they're totally freaked out. And all over the news just saying, he's on his last gasp. Get him off. The Democrats, the senators, just get him off. Just get him off. Just shut him up. Because I got their number. I got their name. I got their ass. And they're little minions. Most of them are compartmentalized. They don't know how all this works. They're getting decompartmentalized. A lot of them aren't pure evil, are waking up and joining us and whistleblowing. Or just
Walking away, you can do that too. Just walk away. Run up the white flag. Because you're in a war against us, and we're winning, and we're going to win. And where your bosses are taking you is hellish. The only way you fail is not joining us. Admit you're the bad guys. Some of you can admit that to yourself. You're not totally turned over to evil yet. Be like Darth Vader. Throw your political system lovingly, nonviolently down the reactor shaft. Become honorable for once. It's exhilarating. It's a blessing to fight evil. It's so animating, as Thomas Jefferson said, the animating contest of liberty. You have to live the life of Thomas Jefferson to really read Thomas Jefferson. And then it's so much stronger.
Base in range.
You may fire when ready.
Commence primary ignition.
All right, so I'm showing this clip because the Judge Lopez in Houston, federal judge, said clear to fire. They have the receiver. They have the Travis County Sheriff's Department. I think they'll be here tomorrow. We'll see. And we'll be all friendly and nice and everything. And then M4s is shut down. So then all of you that are actually listening have to remember, oh, go to Rumble, the Alex Jones channel. Go to Alex Jones on X at AJN Live. We'll be doing the shows there, satellite uplink, same radio stations, everything. We're not going to give up. And they're going to continue to come after us then. That's why you've got to back us. But they are so discredited with their fake auction and sending in private security with no court order to try to block us down. Last May 31st, we've drug this out for over a year, and it's exposed them in the court of public opinion. I go on all these big shows, and they go, congratulations, beating them. I'm like, I haven't. Well, they all, Bloomberg and The Onion, they got defeated. I'm like, they're not stopping. So they think shutting this down will somehow change the narrative. No. We have our abusive process, conspiracy against rights, civil issues, all of it. It's a whole new ballgame. And as long as you support us and our sponsors, I won't be the owner anymore. I'll work for a new company, new system that's already been set up. I'll be on air, and your support then will go to the legal offense and what we're going to do, because they have just continued what they've done before out of their desperation. That's the reality of where we are. As long as we don't decide we're defeated, as long as we don't give up, because this isn't a four-quarter football game. This is an endless game. That's the fight between good versus evil. We win. But the variable is you. Don't thank me for what I've done. I didn't do this. We did this. The crew, the guests, the host, the journalist, you, the listeners, the viewers that spread the word and called in and did the things you did and supported us. You did it. So go get a t-shirt, go get a ball cap, go get our ultramethylene blue, go get our creatine, go get our bovine colostrum, go get our CMOS, go get it all. Big sale going right now. It all funds this operation, and they don't own that because I don't own that, and we have other sponsors and backers and more, and I pledge you this. When they told the founder of the U.S. Navy in the first big engagement of the war, his ship was about a third the size, he had half the men, and his ship was on fire and sinking, but he'd already tied up at the British ship, and they held a cross on their bullhorn, not electric, you know, just a classic one, just a metal cone. Give up. We'll give you a quarter. Surrender. And John Paul Jones said, surrender? I've not yet begun to fight. Ha, ha, ha! The fire of this burning ship is a torch in the darkness leading the way. And InfoWars will not be owned by The Onion or Bloomberg. That's just a name. The people are the InfoWar, and the InfoWar never dies. I'll be on The War Room and more coming up. Be sure and get there and share the live feeds.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
week. My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point.
He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
Well, listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy sh! He was right about every step of the way.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C gummies are back in stock at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, we know it's that time of the year where everybody's getting sick. We've got the CDC and the WHO coming out and warning of the bird flu. We've got this virus that's breaking out in China right now, and we know that the government and the deep state are gearing up for the next pandemic. Even Hotez has come out and said that there's a litany of viruses that are going to be launched across the globe as soon as Donald Trump is president of the United States again. So fight back by fighting for your health and not giving in to the vaccine mandates, which they have in store for us. Please check out Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's rich in immune-boosting vitamin C+. It's rich in immune-boosting vitamin C, supports healthy iron levels, promotes cellular health, and supports blood oxygen levels while being GMO and gluten-free. So check out Ultimate Iron Plus with vitamin C right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.